Well, good evening. Welcome. Glad you're with us. Brian Noonan on 720 WGN. Sitting here in the Allstate Showcase studio, as we do every Sunday night on a bustling Michigan Avenue. Hope your Labor Day weekend is off to an enjoyable start, even though you still got one full day left. So I think we still have quite a chunk of the Labor Day weekend. We are here until 9 o'clock. Big show planned. Want you to get involved. It's always more fun that way. 312-981-7200. That's the phone and the text. If you call in, you'll be talking to Cody. Oh, my goodness. I'm here on a holiday weekend golf. He is the executive producer from Rockford, Illinois. If you're nice to him, you get to me. That's how it works. And if you like social media, you can get a hold of us on Facebook and Twitter. It's Brian Noonan Show. So there you go. Karen Conti will be here after 8 o'clock. She is back from her world travels. And, we are going to do something different tonight while Karen is here. We're still going to take your calls and answer your legal questions, of course. But Karen has put together a Labor Day quiz. So we are going to do a little Labor Day quiz during Karen's portion of the program. So after 8 o'clock, we'll tell you how you can play along and perhaps win some valuable prizes. Perhaps. We do have valuable prizes, but I'm not sure if I'm going to give them away. Perhaps I will keep them for myself. That would not be right.
That wouldn't be very nice.
That's not very nice at all. That's just awful.
Don't do that.
I'm not going to do that. I'm going to give people a chance to win those prizes, because what am I going to do with them? Use them? Eat them?
Can I try to win?
Nope. You're out.
I'm not eligible?
I don't think you are, because you're an employee. So you cannot play, but we'll do this. So we'll do that after 8 o'clock. We're also going to get into this new device that I'm hoping gets passed. It's a new idea that will hold distracted drivers as responsible for accidents as drunk drivers. It's on par with a breathalyzer. So we'll talk about that. And we'll talk about helicopter parenting taken to the ultimate level. And because I saw this story on the heels of a post in a Facebook group that I frequent about Tulane. It's from the Tulane Parents page. Doesn't matter. I have no one's name. Actually, the post that I will refer to has been deleted, probably at the behest of the poster, because she realized that she was in fact a lunatic. So that's and when we get to that, because right now you're judging me, because I'm judging. I think you'll agree with me. And if you don't agree with me, put your head on your desk, take a little nap, because it's not, there's nothing. Also, I know many of us are imbibing this weekend, and by many of us, I mean I'm drinking right now. So you may be tempted on Tuesday to call in sick. Well, we have some expert advice on how to do that, because we're all about helping. We're here about serving the community. And if serving the community means teaching you how to lie to your boss, well then, by all means, that's what we're going to do. You jumped out of your chair like you saw a professional wrestler walking down the street.
Wrestlers walk by all the time, Brian.
Do they?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I was thinking of you today because for a couple minutes I watched I can't remember the name of it, the Stone Cold Steve Austin movie where he's on an island and he's a prisoner on a reality show.
Yeah. Oh, God, what is that called?
I can't remember now. You'll have to look it up. But I was ironing. This is how exciting my life is. This is the kind of big shot life I lead. My wife's out running some errands, and I was ironing, and I thought, well, I don't want to iron in silence in the basement, so I turned the TV on, and I saw the Stone Cold Steve Austin movie, and I thought, you know what? This is perfect, because I don't have to pay attention to it for a second.
The Condemned?
The Condemned. I can hear a lot of grunting. There's an English bad guy who will speak with an accent that will frighten me, and then I figure there'll be a lot of chaos, and every once in a while I'll look up. After I finish a shirt, I look up. Oh, look, there's Steve Austin. He's flexing. Oh, now he got cut. And then we move on from there. Have you ever seen that movie?
No.
I'll tell you what, you'll enjoy it more than Eraserhead.
Oh, God. It's impossible to enjoy any film less than Eraserhead.
If this is what happens to us when we become couples. Can I tell the story or no?
You can tell the story, but you should know it's your fault that I even know this movie exists.
Why is it my fault that you know Eraserhead exists?
On the overnight, when we used to do WGN overnight, like 6 years ago, I would come in with my hair all straight up.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You used to call me Eraserhead, and I didn't know what that meant. So then, it turns out my girlfriend and I are big fans of David Lynch.
Sure, because you like Twin Peaks.
Love Twin Peaks. And yeah, so that's when she says, oh, let's watch Eraserhead. It's one of his first movies. I make the Brian Noonan
right.
Show connection.
Well, if Brian's talked about it, it must be a fine piece of cinema.
Sure.
Or I'm talking about it because I couldn't stand it and I mocked it.
Yeah.
And you may say, perhaps you just didn't understand it. Yeah? So? Of course. You know?
It's annoying because the more I think about it, the better it seems. But when you look at it, it's hard to look at. There's a lot of just gross.
Yeah, it's just
gross.
It's horrifying.
It's hard to look at.
Horrifying.
But it's kind of good and symbolic.
All right.
It is.
I'm sure it is. I haven't seen it since college, so it's been a long time, and I pretty much blocked it out of my mind.
Not a good way to start a holiday weekend.
No, and not, I don't think, the right kind of date night, but that's not neither here nor there.
Not a great date, and it didn't really set the mood.
No.
It's not like after either of us were in the mood to really do anything but sleep and cry ourselves to sleep, basically.
Wow, that's horrifying. Hey, let's send out some good vibes. Our good friend Roger Badish, who is not here tonight. Laura Vaughn's up in the newsroom, which is nice to see Laura after a long time. Roger's wife had an accident and had some surgery today on her hip. So Roger is there with her. We wish her nothing but the best, and we hope Roger is doing well in practicing being a good caregiver. That's what he does. But we, you know, his wife's the one who needs the good wishes, his wife Bridget. So we wish her nothing but the best and a speedy recovery, and we hope that Roger gets back here very, very soon. All right, what else has to go? Oh, I was telling Carmen about this haircut. This is I've been wearing hats the last couple of days because I go to the barber the other day, and normally I've learned I should trust my barber. You know, and anybody who goes to the same person to do their hair, you kind of build up a rapport, right? They know what you like, you trust them, but for some reason the last time I was there, and I got a good haircut the last time I was there, in my opinion anyway, I didn't see him change the blade. And when you're getting a haircut like my crew cut, there's different size blades that they put on the clippers to do your head. So I didn't see him change the blade, and I thought he had kept everything one length. So normally I get the sides short and then short on top but a little longer. For some reason he said to me, so you want the one on the sides and then a little longer on top? And I was like, no, just all the same. He goes, really? I said, yeah, really. He goes, you're sure? You want it all the same, because normally don't I leave it a little longer on top? I was like, I don't know. I don't think so. I don't know why I thought this. So all of a sudden he goes, really? Okay. And he takes the clippers and he makes the first pass on my head. And you know that scene in Stripes where John Candy gets his hair cut? That's exactly how I felt, because he did the one stripe down the middle of my head and he went, that's the one. And I was like, oh, no. He goes, well, I gave you three chances. I said, I'm not blaming you. It's not your fault. It's my fault because I'm an idiot. But then, so then my head is basically shaved, right? I mean, it's pretty short.
It's pretty much gone.
Yeah. So normally I keep it short on the sides, but there is, you can tell I have hair on the top. Now it doesn't, now I got nothing.
You're not bald.
I'm not bald, but I'm as close to bald as you can get with having hair.
You got the peach fuzz.
There's a lot of people looking in the window now going, yeah, he almost has no hair.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said to Carmen, it is nice. Because yesterday we were out and walking around in the sun, and so I was able to wear a hat, and you can wear hats. And then I like taking my hat off when I go into a restaurant or something, because I think that's
irrespectful.
The etiquette. Sure. But then I always used to think, well, my hair looks nasty. But now it doesn't matter, because I take my hat off, my head looks exactly the same. And I would do that. I'd check in the rearview mirror. I'd take the hat off, put it back on. I was like an imbecile. I'm looking at my head. Oh, look, my head looks exactly the same. So the point of the story, if you're following along at home, or in your car and saying, is there a point to this story? Yes. The point to this story is always trust the people you have entrusted your personal care with, whether it's your doctor or your barber or your beautician, whoever it is. If they say, are you sure? And they give you three chances to back out of your crazy statement, check yourself, as the kids say, before you wreck yourself. So thankful, because he kept saying, I gave you a chance. I gave you, like, I don't know if he thought I was going to sue him or I was going to get out of the chair and take a swing at him. I'm like, you're 75 years old. I'm not going to take a swing at you. Just relax. I said, it's my fault because I'm an idiot. You know, it's just my fault. Maybe I go with an Urlacher. I get the new, the hair.
What?
Like, Urlacher got new hair, and I think Lou got new hair, too.
What do you mean he got new hair?
Lou and Urlacher. Haven't you seen the billboards with Brian Urlacher now that he has hair?
I don't drive.
Well, there there's TV commercials. There's all sorts of things.
I don't have TV.
Newspaper ads. You ever read a paper?
Nope.
No? All right.
I'm
anyway.
A millennial, Brian.
Have you ever listened to this show?
Not
where
really.
Where Lou Manfredini does commercials for a hair restoration place?
Oh, I listen to Lou's commercials.
Sure, Lou's commercials.
I don't listen to you, but...
No, listen to Lou's commercials. They're fantastic.
Yeah.
He does a heck of a job. So maybe I need that. Because now I'm afraid I start rehearsals this week for Tony and Tina,
right.
And I have a feeling I'm going to walk in and the director's going to see my head and just go, "Ah, what happened to you?" I go, nothing.
Like, what, you want to get hair plugs?
No, I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding.
You want to get hair?
I don't need that. I'm not on TV. I'm not a big shot.
Hair extensions?
I want to get extensions. Yeah, I want this. I want to extend it like another 4 millimeters, so it looks like I have hair again. That's what I want to do. That's the extensions I want to get, just like that.
Does Chia Pet sell a growing wig? You can just water your head every couple days. It'll
Then it takes a while. Then I got to get a clipper. I got to, you know, I do topiary. Then I let my hair grow up and I, you know, shape it into like an elephant or a seal with a ball on its nose.
Nah, it does it automatically, right? I've never had a chia pet, have you?
No, I never had a chia pet.
Because that was more of a your generation kind of a thing.
It is. Old people love chia pets.
Is that what I said?
No, I don't know. Who loves chia pets? I think I got one once as a gag gift, but I never tried to... Chia it.
You're going
to
infuriate the chia pet subculture.
I'm not saying that you shouldn't have a chia pet. If you want a chia pet, that's great. Have an Obama chia pet. They have the ram. They have all sorts of different chia pets. They're great. You buy them wherever you buy them. You spread the seed on it and it grows. I don't care what you do if you're a chia petter.
It's the pottery that grows.
Of course it is. That's the best thing. That's the best kind of pottery. Let's do this. Then we'll tell you how to call in sick on Tuesday. Because I know you're, after this segment, if you're not drunk, you want to be. All right, we'll do that after this at WGN. Yeah?
It's playing. If you look at the screen, it's playing.
Oh, you know what? This happened the other night.
Do you not have the volume turned up?
No, I have. There was an issue the other night where the producer was playing the bumps, and it wasn't happening.
I hit the button.
I believe you. I see, you know.
Is it turned up?
Yes, it's turned up. That was the first question everybody came in Thursday night screaming. Do you have it up on the board? Yes. On my end, everything's good. Somewhere between your end and my end, things are goofy. That's all right. I see things running. I can see on the computer. We've got two different, have two different things running.
Two different cake songs are playing.
Why would you play not only one cake song, but two cake songs? Anyway, weekday mornings, it has everything you need to know and some things you just need to see. It's WGN-TV Morning News, and it is Chicago's must-watch morning news.
You're supposed to talk when I get quiet.
No, that's all right. Thank you.
I was fading out for you.
I know you faded out. It was very nice. That was very nice.
Thank
you're
you.
A human beatbox. So are you planning to call in sick on Tuesday because you've been enjoying yourself a lot this weekend? I know the police were supposedly cracking down. They were out in force. They are out in force this weekend, so be careful. I don't have to tell you to be careful, do I? That you shouldn't be driving if you've been drinking. But if you've been drinking, you may get up Tuesday morning. Because tomorrow, see, with some holidays, like people will party tonight and then they have all day Monday to recover. But with Labor Day, because it's the unofficial last day of summer, people will stretch it out. So there will be barbecues and parties tomorrow, too. And people will be a little, you know, by the time it gets to be 7, 8 o'clock tomorrow night, they'll go, oh, yeah, rats, tomorrow's Tuesday. I got to go to work. This is horrific. And then you're going to try to call in sick. Now, I don't condone that. I would never do that. Right, Cody?
You've never called in sick when I've worked with you.
No. The only time I called in sick was when I was actually in the hospital.
I know.
And I called in from the hospital. Everybody else, I try. Somebody was shocked that I was here tonight. One of the Texans. I can't believe you're on tonight.
They meant that they're shocked that I'm here tonight.
Well, everybody's shocked that you're here tonight.
I'm shocked I'm here.
I can't believe it. I think, well, it was the Spain issue. That's the reason. All right, so here, if you have a unique way to call in sick where you don't think your boss is going to catch on that you were just hammered over the weekend and you didn't want to come in, that's fine. But I saw this the other day in the Trib. They asked some workplace experts, some consultants, things like that, to give some tips on tactfully calling in sick on Tuesday when you didn't let your boss know that you weren't feeling well on, you know, Thursday. Did you get off early? Did you get off early on Friday?
Yeah.
Did you really?
We usually get off just a couple hours early.
Yeah, I think my wife got off an hour early on Friday.
Nice.
I was teaching, so I got out regular time.
Some people get 4-day weekends.
That's crazy.
It's awesome.
When does it end?
When does what end? The weekend?
The weekend. When does the weekend? 4 days.
Well,
then it stretches out. Well, no. Here's the thing. And listen, I'm all for working as little as possible. If you get a 4 day weekend, I am happy for you. But at some point, then Thursday becomes the new Friday. And people go, well, are we getting out early on Thursday because we don't have Friday, because we don't have to work Friday because Friday's a holiday? Just like we say, do we get out early on Friday because of the long holiday weekend? Then it'll go Thursday. Well, now then we start getting off early on Thursday, and then people go, oh, just take Thursday off. Oh, now Wednesday. Hey, wait a minute. And then nothing gets done.
Yeah, but you know what? To be honest, who's working this summer? I mean, who goes to work and does anything? I don't.
Well?
I just go in, sit there, and at 5 I go outside and enjoy the sunshine.
Is that right?
No one in the world wants to work when the weather's nice outside.
No, that's why you need to live where the weather's nice, so it's just boring. And then you realize, okay, I'll just, you know, this is just how every day is.
Is that how L.A. works?
I think, no, L.A. nobody works. Nobody works in L.A. And I think, I know a guy who lives in Hawaii. I don't know how you would ever work if you lived in Hawaii. So, I mean, you have to be able to pay your rent and buy groceries and stuff. But other than that, there'd be no incentive.
So the global economy just depends on places with bad weather.
I think so.
All right.
They work very hard in Russia. We work very hard here.
They drink
not,
really
not here
hard
in this
in
room.
Well, no, I was going
to
say.
All right, so according to one guy, a workplace culture consultant and executive coach, what do you know about that? He said, if you have a flexible boss, just be honest about it. Start with, hi, boss, can I be permitted to take the day off? So-and-so has already agreed to cover for me. Yeah, that'll work. You think? I don't think so. I'll make it up as soon. I'll get any makeup work done within 2 or 3 days. What boss is going to go for that? Nobody.
I'll make it up?
If your boss isn't so flexible, he says, your colleagues are more likely to snipe than support. You might want to think about it. It's tricky because they say if you're lying, you have to sound sick on the phone. And I've never ran into somebody who can successfully sound sick. Or maybe they have. Maybe they've done it, and I really thought they were sick.
Who calls in and doesn't just email?
Well,
that's the beauty of email.
Ah, that's what you think. But according to this, if you email and you're able to work the computer, your boss may say, well, just stay home, but you can still work from home on your computer that you just emailed me your weak response in. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Call in as early as you can. I know people who, if they decide either they are legitimately sick or they're going to call a sick in, you know, call in sick that day, they will get up very early and call and leave a voicemail at like 5 and then just not answer the phone at 9. It's like, man, yeah, that makes sense. So call in as early and just say, I'm not feeling well, but I'll be fine tomorrow. How do you know? Are you a doctor? Yeah, kind of. Dr. McGillicuddy's peppermint schnapps. I've been drinking that for all 3 days. So, yeah, I think I'm a doctor now. Another expert, an adjunct professor of business administration at Duke, says some excuses might actually work. My kid is sick. I missed my flight. I have to take my pet to the vet. My allergies are too bad. That's a good one. Or you could say, I need to take a day off for personal reasons. Yeah, but again,
personal reasons.
Personal reasons.
That's
sure.
Not.
Here's a personal reason. I'm hung over. That's my personal reason.
You know, you mentioned the drawback of email.
Yeah.
Is if you can work a computer. But now everyone has email on their phone.
That's
everyone
true.
Sleeps with their phone next to their bed.
Not
so
everyone.
A lot of people. Millennials.
No, a lot of people. I'm just not one of them.
Okay. Well,
people
good.
Are always amazed that I turn my phone. Oh, your phone wasn't on? No, I turn it off when I go to bed. You don't leave it next to you? Nope. I turn it off. It's in the other room. It's charging. I'm going to sleep. What if there's an emergency? They'll either call the house phone. They call my wife's phone. She sleeps with it next to her. But, you know.
We have something in common.
You turn your phone off?
I don't turn it off. I turn the sound off, and
yeah.
I charge it, put it on my desk 10 feet away.
Yeah. I'm not getting involved in that.
Yeah.
I don't have much time to sleep. Most of us don't have much time to sleep.
I think we're outliers, though.
Yeah, I know. And I don't look at it first thing in the morning either. There have been times where most days, by the time I get up and go to the gym and stuff, I'll have been up for a couple hours before I realize my phone isn't on. Then I go, oh, maybe I should check my phone. That's just me. If you're going to party hardy, be proactive and take the day off ahead of time. That's the best advice. You should have taken the day off last week. If you unexpectedly find yourself too hungover to go to work, it does not go unnoticed that you called in on the day after any party holiday. So there you go. Be careful. Good luck. We hope it works out for you. All right, news in two on WGN.
WGN.
Brian Noonan on 720 WGN. Thank you, Laura. Karen Conti will be here after 8 o'clock. She'll be answering your legal questions. And we'll be playing a Labor Day quiz that Karen has concocted for all of us. So that will be fun. A chance to win prizes? Of course there is a chance to win prizes. Why would we do a quiz if we didn't have prizes? We were talking right before the news about if you overindulge during the holiday and then you try to call in sick. There were some quote-unquote experts that were giving us some advice, but I wanted to hear from you, 312-981-7200. Terry's been holding on. Hi, Terry.
Yeah, there's a good one, but you can only do this once.
Uh-huh.
You wait until the end of the day that you were supposed to come in.
Okay.
And then you call your employer and you say, don't pay the ransom, I've escaped, and I'll be in tomorrow.
Thank you, Terry.
And you're done.
And then you're done. And I don't want to know what's going to happen the next day when you go in, but it sounds exciting.
Right, and you don't want to do this twice.
No, you can only do it once, because after that they're going to wonder, what are you doing that you're getting kidnapped so often? Then they're going to give you security. You're just a high risk. Yeah. They're going to cut you loose.
Or you can just tell them, thank God the airplane landed safely. I'll be in on Tuesday.
I like that you're not going for, I just don't feel good, I got a little tickle in my throat. You're going for kidnapping and airline disasters.
Yeah, you got to go way beyond that.
Yeah, go big or don't do it at all, right, Terry?
That's exactly right. It might cost you your job if you don't.
Exactly. Well, enjoy the rest of your holiday, and thank goodness you got away from those horrible kidnappers.
Oh, my God. It's like I'm free.
Take care, Terry. Bye-bye. From the 815, calling in sick, mandatory call to main office, mandatory call to immediate supervisor, must speak to them in person, and if you call in sick the day before or after a holiday, you lose your holiday pay. Just a few of the rules. Yeah, there were a couple people who texted in, well, I can't call in sick on Tuesday or I don't get paid for Monday, which makes sense. I know that's how it works in my wife's firm.
That's trash.
Well,
that's a terrible policy.
Well, is it? Or is it one of those policies that you only institute after years of people going, wait a minute, you already had a 3.5-day weekend, now you're making it a 4.5-day weekend?
Oh, I'm so sorry the big company loses one day of productivity from somebody for having fun with their families.
Listen to you, comrade.
Oh, the big, poor companies. Oh, and the rich bosses.
What are you trying to generate? So doing some clickbait there?
No, I'm not. I legitimately think this is a garbage policy.
I don't at all.
I've worked for companies that have policies like this, and I have hated working there. I've hated the management. I haven't enjoyed myself. It's
why? Because you couldn't lie and take a sick day? Now, listen, if you have sick days, and I think there has to be a policy, and I don't know because I don't work at a company like that. But I think if you came in legitimately on Wednesday and said, look, I was at the emergency room, or here's the note from the doctor. I was legitimately sick. Then they go, okay, and I don't know if that happens, but I would hope that it would. I would hope that a boss who you present with proof that you were actually sick would say, okay, that's fine. But to just blankly go, that's a horrible policy. It probably wasn't in place until so many people abused it that they went, well, we have to do something because everybody's taking the next day off.
There are places where employers treat their employees like liars and like second-class citizens and like the help. And those companies aren't okay. And those are the companies that often implement policies like this.
No,
you're
that's
right.
Not,
they're not all like that.
They are not, because there's a lot of good companies that expect you to come in after. If we're paying you for the holiday, I mean, if they're not paying you for the holiday, then okay, take the next day off. That's fine. But if we're paying, if you're getting a paid holiday and we let you off a couple of days or a couple hours early on Friday, you owe it to your employer to show up for work, unless you are genuinely sick or there is a legitimate family emergency. You owe it to them to show up.
And I get that. I'm just saying, I've worked a lot of...
You get that, but you wish you could hold a sickle above your head and tell the tell the rest of the comrades that you are going to fight the man.
Look, I've worked a lot of part-time and full-time jobs since moving to the city, and there are places where employees are just treated not
well. Of course there are.
And this is the kind of stuff that they use to just grip you into this constant fear you're going to lose your job or any
percent of your income. Yeah, but I'm thinking a lot of those companies that you're talking about, that treat their employees horribly, they're not paying them for the holidays anyway.
But, no, some of them are, and some of them are good companies,
right.
But you get the direct suit because, you know, this talks about you must speak to direct supervisor in person. If you get a direct supervisor that's on any kind of power trip or any boss that's not like a really good boss, you're in trouble.
Yeah, but talking to your direct supervisor cuts down is one way to cut down on the, I'm just going to leave the voicemail message at 6 o'clock. I really feel sick, so I can't come in.
I can see it from both sides, but I think I also look at it in the bigger picture that America has some of the worst labor laws in the world. And this is objective. You can see this on John Oliver. You can see us compared to any other country. We have the least amount of mandatory vacation days. We get paid for the least stuff. I mean, we have terrible labor laws.
This is because you just came back from Spain.
It's not,
and you
want
a siesta.
It's not, though. And Spain's economy is not doing real great, but America objectively has awful labor laws, and when I look at that in the context, this is just one more thing that's like, oh, okay, in the rare occasion that the U.S. actually gets a paid holiday, well, if you decide to call in sick the next day, we're going to dock you that, too. It's just one more thing that makes us so far behind the rest of the world.
See, I'll agree that we need, it'd be nice if we had
parental leave.
Sure, parental leave would be great, but then you go, all right, so... But then people, here's the thing, you want to stick up for all the employees. Employees can be just as shifty as bad employers.
And you're right.
And employees are always looking for, not every employee before, because right now everybody with a job is going, that's not me. No, of course it's not. But let's be honest, there are a number of employees that are looking to slack off, that are looking to cut any kind of edge, and it's not people with careers that they love. Those people are going to work until they drop. It's the people who are working harder jobs or jobs they don't really like, and they're like, oh, if I could just get a couple extra hours off, or if I could do that, everybody's looking for an angle. Companies want to get the most out of their employees. Employees want to get the most amount of pay for the least amount of work. It's a vicious cycle. But I get that policy. Do I agree with it? No. Would it, if it were me, would there be times when I wish I could stretch it a little bit? Sure. But I know why they've put this in, and it makes sense.
I just don't know. I don't know if the numbers would add up. I don't know if the numbers would say X, 70% of people that do this are just lying to get, to be lazy, and 30% are just trying to get a break. I've taken quote-unquote mental health days and kind of called in sick fake because I needed it, because I'm burned out, I'm exhausted, and I'm not happy.
Well,
and I come back to work, I'm more productive, I'm happier.
But don't you have vacation and sick days?
I do, but it's not enough sometimes. I mean,
well, that's what you get.
That's what you get for working in America, and I know I'm saying this, but we have terrible labor laws. And you've seen it on John Oliver. You're a fan, right?
I'm a fan of John Oliver's show. Yes, I am.
I mean, he's talked about this.
I think he's really funny.
We need, and I'm not saying America's terrible. I'm not going on this anti-patriotic.
What do you want? Yeah, really. What's going on there?
But I mean,
what do you want? 4-day work weeks?
This whole weekend, Labor Day, right, is about celebrating.
It's about celebrating the fact that
the victories.
Workers, right? That workers stood up for themselves and fought for what was right, and they're right down the road here at in Pullman.
And I just think
big, horrible battle.
I just think that we have a further to go.
That's true. We always have further to go. We can always evolve, but we can't put it all on the employers, the people who are doing stuff, to say you need to give the employees everything they want. Because be honest, there's a lot of people who go, I want my entire salary. I want to take off a week a month. On the weeks that I'm there, I only want to work 5 hours a day. I want pizza brought in every day for lunch. And I want somebody to rub my feet because I get tired. Somebody texted in. I come in. I throw up. I get sent home. I tried. I think that's good. I like that stick-to-itiveness. You showed up for work. And then you launched. And they went, man, you're too sick. You got to go home. Bingo. Then you get your day. Then you go back to bed. But calling in sick after a holiday, people know. And again, I know I'm repeating myself, but it was put in place for a reason. And it was probably put in place after a long time of people abusing the holiday. Work is work. As I've said this to my daughter a million times. Oh, this is hard. Work is. They call it work because it's supposed to be hard. Work is a commitment. You show up, you do your job, you get paid, you go home. That's how it works.
I'm not saying it shouldn't be hard. But you trade a lot of hours. Most people trade a lot of hours of their life being somewhere they don't really want to be. And
is that the boss's fault or is that the fault of the employee who is? And granted, some people are stuck. Some people are not. Some people think they're stuck because, oh, well, I'm at a job I hate, but I'm making a lot of money. I could get a different job, but then I wouldn't be able to do this and that. Well, then whose fault is that? Is that your boss's fault because you hate your job, but he's paying you so much that you have to stay there? Or is it your fault for not having the sack to say, all right, I really hate my job. I'm going to change my life. And then going out and changing your life. I think it's on you. And this is coming from a guy who was in that exact situation.
You were.
So, you know, it's not, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying that finding a new job is always, you know, you just walk out the door and ha-ha, a new job falls in your lap. I know that doesn't happen.
Sure.
So, but at some point, if you're working in a place where the conditions are that horrible, you either file a complaint with somebody or you go and get something else.
Sure.
And I don't say that flippantly. Because sometimes you have to do a lot of things when you walk away from something. But there's nothing wrong with walking away from something if it's that bad. And listen, this is the way the country is set up at this point. It's a 40-hour work week. You don't like it? I don't know. Move. Go adjust your life so that you can live on a gig economy where you're working a little bit here, a little bit there. You make enough to get by. You live in a place that you can afford at that life. But you can't have it both ways.
Sure.
You can't have, well, I'm going to live the life of a, you know, lovely suburban house with two cars and we're going to go out to eat every night and da-da-da. But I don't want to go to work.
And I'm not saying I feel entitled to everything I want by any means. I just see a lot of policies companies that are, and I don't work for any of them. I'm actually very fortunate.
I hope your employer is not listening.
No. My employer is one of the best in the country for benefits. It's great, but it's just places I've been in the past. And the way I always look at it at the end of the day is you only have so many hours in your life, and time is something that you can never get back. And if I spend 300 hours in a job in a month or whatever, that's 300 hours of my life that are gone forever.
What's your options? You have to work. You have to work to have money to live.
Absolutely.
So what are you going to do?
Well, but there are other cultures who do it differently and not better. I'm not saying that. But there are places that'll give a lot more vacation time and a lot more flexibility and things like that. But you're making a lower income.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But in those countries, it's kind of set up in a way that you can still kind of live. I mean, Italy comes to mind.
There's other countries where happiness is put above that. This country is a capitalistic society. We chase the dollar, for better or worse. You can choose not to, and there's ways to live in this country without it. Are you going? But then you can't keep up with, you know, you can't compare yourself to other people who are busting their hump 40, 50, 60 hours a week. Do I wish that there were places that you could get, you know, would it hurt some employers to throw an extra week of vacation onto people? I don't think so. I think in some cases where you have to work 15, 20 years to finally get up to 3 or 4 weeks of vacation a year, that's excessive to me. But overall, you know, this is the system we have. You work to fix the system you're in, realizing that, you know, your option is there. You're free to walk.
Mm-hmm.
So walk, you know, it's not easy.
I don't know. I think at the end of the day, I get upset too. I had a friend worked at GameStop for 5 years. He made, you know, $8 an hour when he started. When he left, maybe close to $9 an hour. The CEO's, his salary went up from, you know, $18 million, $20 million, $30 million, whatever. And that then becomes
there is a huge disparity. And then the you know, the answer to that, and I don't know your friend, I'm talking in generalities, I'm not talking about that person in particular, but there are certain jobs that aren't going to ever pay a huge amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't have to. because you can find people. There's a lot of people who can work those jobs, not highly skilled jobs. That doesn't make them bad people. It just means maybe they don't have a lot of education. Maybe they don't have a lot of skills. Maybe these are the jobs. And they're relatively simple jobs. Are they tedious? Yes. Are they soul-numbing? Sure, at times. But they're simple jobs. So you don't need to pay, you know, an exorbitant amount of money. Is $8 an hour enough? No. You know, we can find a middle ground where you go, all right, yes, this is an unskilled job. We don't need to pay $40,000 a year or more. But should we pay more than $12,500 a year? Yeah, probably, if we want this person to, you know, to maybe not have to use government programs, maybe not have to live with eight other people in a shack. But then I go back to that person. Okay, if it's not working for you, try to find something else or pick up something else. There's other ways to do it.
Well, this
was supposed to be the textilizer portion of the program.
I'm sorry, I did not mean for this to.
I was not trying to
be shock jockey.
Shock jockey. There was a lot of shock jockery in there for you.
Wasn't trying to, but here we are.
I think you were. I think that's your new thing.
Have I ever accomplished anything I've tried to do, Brian, on this show?
I don't know.
There you go.
All right, let's do this, and then, oh my goodness, where did the time go? We have so much to get to in so little time on WGN. Yeah, a little techno in there, a little electronica. All right, we're going to talk about this. Textilizer after the news, because I think it is a very, very interesting thing. But let's talk about this, because it ties in with our work topic that was not a topic. It was just a conversation that happened. That's the beauty of this program. You know, yes, we plan it out. Yes, I have a map of where we're going to go. And then suddenly we go somewhere else. Hopefully you come along with us. Hopefully you enjoy it when we do. Does pizza make you more productive at work? How do you feel about pizza at work, Cody? Are there employers who should only give us pizza every day?
Pizza's not healthy.
Pizza is wonderful.
I didn't say it's not wonderful. It's not healthy.
In moderation, sure it is. Yeah,
everything's healthy in moderation.
If I eat seven pizzas a day, no, that's probably not good for me.
You said should an employer give you pizza every day, and I said...
Every day, not every day.
Exactly.
All right, a Duke University psychology professor, Dan Ehrlich, found in an experiment... He describes in his new book that, yes, pizza may make people more productive.
Should we get a pizza and see if the show gets better?
If someone wants to send over a pizza, let's see if I'm more productive. It's worth a try. The group was promised to conduct the study, he sent 3 out of 4 workers at a semiconductor factory in Israel messages at the start of the week that promised them specific rewards for assembling a prescribed number of chips each day. All right? So you do this every day, you're either going to get, one group, they were promised a well-done text from their boss at the end of the week. Another group was promised a bonus of about $30. A third group was told they would get a voucher for a free pizza. And the fourth group got nothing. No message, no offer, they got nothing. So, did the motivation work? During the beginning of the week-long experiment, free pizza came out first, showing a 6.7% increase in productivity over the control group. A well-done text saw a 6.6% increase, and money claimed a measly third place with just 4.9%. So wait a minute. Cash money comes in behind pizza and an attaboy? I don't know what's going on. But as the week finished up, money fell into last place. Money, the incentive of getting $30 extra... got less response than the people who were offered nothing. We're going to give you more money than I am going to do absolutely nothing.
I actually read about this. There's a book called Drive by Daniel Pink, and it talks about the truth about motivation at work.
Yeah. So at the end of the week, pizza came in second, and the control group was third. The well-done text, the text from the boss, got the people to work the hardest. Because it's, according to them, it means people love praise and appreciation more than tangible rewards and money. They said extrinsic motivators, well, I can't even read, I got the wrong glasses on, can stop having much meaning. Your raise in pay feels like you're just due, your bonus gets spent, your new title doesn't sound so important once you have it, but the sense that other people appreciate you is what sticks with you and makes you work.
It's 100% true.
So that is right. According to this study, but I think, you know, we all say we're motivated by money. Maybe the people at this factory in Israel are not as motivated by money as we are. I would think the money, if my boss said to me, listen, if you get this much done this week, you're going to get an extra 30, 50, 100 bucks. I'm going to work harder.
They've done tests in the U.S. This is what the whole book was
based
on. I know,
the whole thing. It seems surprising to me. People mm-hmm. want pizza and a pat on the back more than money. But if you get money, you can buy your own pizza and hire somebody to pat you on the back.
Yeah, but then you have to order the pizza, and that's more work.
Yes, but those people who are being treated badly at the pizza conglomerates can then rise up and deliver their pizza and make money.
I did not say that.
To best their overlords. I know how you said. All right. That's right. I said best their overlords.
Wow.
On the other side, we are going to get into this textilizer. Come hell or high water, we're talking about it. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. It's 7 o'clock with the news. Here's Laura Vaughn.
720 WGN.
Our computer overlords are very touchy. You cannot you brush up against it the second time, it shuts itself off.
I was going to say, are you doing a round or something?
Yep. Everybody jump in with their Christine 16 impressions. It's Brian Noonan on 720 WGN. Karen Conti will be here in an hour. She'll be answering your legal questions, and we'll be playing a Labor Day quiz that Karen has put together all about labor laws and labor rules. You may want to be listening, Cody, because it's all about labor and employees' rights and things like that.
So, I refuse to listen to that.
I don't blame you.
Kidding.
All right. I saw this today, and I think this is a wonderful idea. I'm going to start with that so you know where I lie. But I think distracted driving should be treated as seriously as drunk driving. And I think a lot of people are coming around to that way of thinking. There's a new bill in New York, and I hope it gains traction there and spreads. Ben Liebman is a man whose son was killed in a car crash about 5 years ago. So he was trying to figure out what happened in the accident, and for years he was trying to subpoena the phone records of the person who was driving the car. His son was in the back seat, buckled in his seatbelt. Supposedly, the driver claimed that he had fallen asleep, but the accident happened during rush hour on a very busy road, and so Mr. Liebman didn't quite buy that. There had been reports that the driver had been texting the entire time leading up to the accident, and so he wanted to find out. So he was trying to subpoena those phone bills, and people kept asking, what are you trying to prove? There was no way to prove what the driver was doing at the exact time of the crash. He did learn that the driver was texting and minutes before the crash, but the police never checked his phone. I always thought that would be the first thing the police check. You know, just like if you're in an accident and they suspect you've been drinking, they're going to check that. You would think that they'd look right at your phone. He said in this story, once I got the phone record subpoenaed, I was amazed that the phone was sitting in the car for weeks in a junkyard and they never looked at it. So he started an advocacy group called Distracted Operators Risk Casualties. The driver, who was injured along with the other two passengers, lost his license for a year because of using the phone. So he goes on to say, if someone runs a red light and hits your car and the police officer suspects drunken driving, there is a mechanism right there to prove it. So long story short, he decided, you know what, we need some sort of mechanism that will do the same for phones, that a police officer will be able to hook up to the phone and they'll be able to tell what the driver was doing. Now, before privacy people start jumping in, hang on. I know there are privacy concerns, and we're going to address those in a minute. But he went to a company called Cellebrite. They are a company that does the breathalyzers, I think. Yeah. So he goes there. And he asks them, it's a mobile forensics company. They provide technology to law enforcement to help investigators unlock mobile devices and solve crimes. Okay? So he goes to them and he explains. And he asks if they could dial its technology back and quote-unquote dumb it down so that officers could detect that someone was using their device while driving, but not exactly what they were doing, because that's the big privacy issue. People are like, well, listen, we can't have untrained police officers tapping into our phones. One, they don't know what they're looking for. Two, they don't need to know what we were talking about, if in fact we were texting someone, or if we were on the internet. We don't need them to know all our information. And so this technology would not allow them that information, but it would allow them to see if there was keypad activity. They would allow, it would allow them to see if there was an internet log on, anything like that, without actually, they couldn't read the actual text. They couldn't see the web pages you were on. So the people at Celebrate went, yeah, we could do that. We'll pretty much do it. So we're going to come up with the Textalizer. And the Textalizer, all the officer needs to do is connect a person's phone to their laptop or other device and detect only the operating system logs, which would provide information about touchscreen use and whether someone was typing at the time of the crash. 312-981-7200. Do you have a problem with this from the privacy standpoint? Or do you think, you know what? This is a great idea, as I do, because if you're, we've all almost, hopefully you haven't been in a, hit by somebody who was distracted, but many of us have had really close encounters with drivers who were distracted. You see it every day. I mean, I could count today driving in the amount of people I saw texting, and you know they're texting because all of a sudden their car will either swerve or it'll slow way down, and when you go to pass them, what are they doing? They're looking at their phone. Well, if that person causes an accident, it's as bad as if somebody's drinking and causes an accident. So why not have a device that can do that? So again, we get to the point where people are saying, no, we've got, you know, we've got to worry about people's privacy. So this bill is up in New York. And if it is passed, if it becomes law, it will be the first law of its kind. I'm hoping it does, and then it can spread to here. Because, then we'll see. They're saying there's not as much stigma attached to distracted driving yet. You know, because remember back in the day before Mothers Against Drunk Driving and before drunk driving became a thing, there wasn't really a lot of stigma attached to it. People kind of laughed about it. And I'm talking back like in the 60s, you know, maybe early 70s, where you'd see it on TV and people would talk about it. They'd go out to drink at lunch and they'd do all that. I think, you know, so then we started taking drunk driving more seriously. And once that happened, you know, there was shame involved, which there should be, and there was, you know, people were looking to arrest people who were drunk driving and causing accidents and all that. So that's fine. So now we're hoping that people can start looking at distracted driving the same way. But do you think that will ever happen? How many of you are driving right now, and do you have your cell phone where you can see it? Now, I will say that I have my cell phone out on certain drives, but only for the navigation app, and I have that talking to me. So, I think this is a great idea, and I'm glad it's starting. I'm sorry that it had to come because some father lost his son, but you know, if that can lead to something good, I'm sure the father would much rather have his son back, obviously. But then if you can take a tragedy and turn it into something that can help other people, it might lessen the sting a little bit. I'm not saying it erases it. I'm not saying it lessens it completely, and it never brings your son back. But at least you can think, well, maybe this won't happen to somebody else's kid. 312-981-7200. Margaret wants to jump in. She's in Skokie. Hi, Margaret. You're on WGN.
Well, hello, Brian. Anything that will help to curb people doing text messaging and talking on their cell phones, holding their hands up in front of them as they're driving the car, looking at their cell phone and doing whatever else they're doing, I'm all for it. And I certainly wish our police department, whether it's city, state, suburban, I wish they would be ticketing these people left and right. Just as you said, you see it all the time. I see it more often. I see more people doing that than actually looking at the road while they're driving.
Yeah, it's amazing to me how widespread it's become and how we don't, you know, we'll all complain about it. I complain about it. Margaret, I'm sure you complain about it as well.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing really gets done. And law enforcement has bigger fish to fry, unfortunately. So I don't know how much enforcement there is of the distracted driving laws that are on the books.
Well, if there were a few police, believe me, I would be willing to spend a few extra dollars of my tax money to pay for hiring officers that do nothing but that, because the money that we would get back in fines, and I'm talking about severe fines, you're caught once, let's make it $1,000. You're caught a second time, let's make it $5,000. The third time, you lose your license.
Yeah.
This would stop. People would stop doing it. Only the real, real morons would continue, because it's serious, Brian.
Oh, I know.
Again, people are not only getting killed, but cars are, you know, when your car is hit by somebody that's doing something like that, it's your all of our insurance goes up.
Exactly.
So thank you for bringing that up, Brian. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Margaret. Thanks for the call. And people are wondering how this would work as opposed to a breathalyzer, where would you be able to turn down the textilizer like you can turn down the breathalyzer? Yes, you would. It would follow that same kind of concept of implied consent. You could refuse to take a breathalyzer test if an officer stopped you. You could also do that with the textilizer. You wouldn't go to jail for refusing to submit to the textilizer test, but you could lose the privilege afforded to you by the Department of Motor Vehicles, i.e. you could lose your driver's license. All right, let's take a quick break. We've got texts coming in. We've got calls, 312-981-7200. The textilizer, I think it's a great idea. I'm tired of distracted drivers, and I'm tired of what they're wreaking on our roadways, so I think this is a great opportunity for New York to set the tone for the rest of the country. Talk to you about it on the other side. It's WGN. Learn how real Chicagoans live, the day-to-day struggles and successes with health, fitness, and food. Watch Living Healthy Chicago Sundays at 11:30 a.m. on WGN-TV. All right, a New York bill would give officers the authority to use a textilizer to investigate distracted driving. If it does become a law, it'll be the first such law in this country. I think it's a great idea. I'm wondering what you think. 312-981-7200. Shane wants to weigh in. He's in Indiana. Hi, Shane.
Hi, I think that would be a great idea. In my state, we even come across people that are talking on the phone and their cars are going all over the place. Somebody really needs to do something about that. I know in Illinois there is a law about that.
Mm-hmm.
But this would really cut down on the texting for a lot of people to stop doing that while driving. I think it's a great invention.
Yeah, I think so too. Shane, thank you for the call. Let's say hi to Duncan. He's in Oswego, a bus driver. Hi, Duncan.
Brian, I love your show. I've been with you for a long time, buddy.
Thanks, man.
Hey, I'm a school bus driver, and this is a kind of a quick list of some of the things that I see from up top in my school bus, especially in the morning. I've seen women putting on makeup while they're driving. I've seen someone reading their Kindle while they're driving. I've obviously seen the texting many times. I've seen a guy shaving with his electric razor while he's driving.
Oh, my God.
And I've seen someone flossing their teeth with both hands while they're driving.
Wow.
From the top deck of the school bus.
Wow.
And recently, I probably shouldn't mention this, but recently we've had one of our buses was sideswiped by somebody who was sending a text, and the bus had to stop at a railroad crossing.
Oh.
So they went around and sideswiped the bus full of kids.
Nice.
So,
well, did you see, Duncan, and maybe somebody else saw this too, the other day, I think it was on Good Morning America, it was one of the news shows anyway, they were showing all these kids in the last couple of weeks who've been hit by people passing stopped school buses. Because they're either speeding or they're not paying attention, and these kids, thankfully the kids they showed were okay, but there were two or three different cases of kids getting plowed over because people weren't paying attention.
Those are stop arm violations. Last year I had 43 of them. Those are the ones that I caught. There were probably a dozen that I didn't catch.
Now, who do you report that? Who do you report that to?
We have a form that we fill out. The most important piece of information is the license plate number, which is sometimes difficult to get.
Right.
But that's the first thing. And then if you can, the make of the car, the color of the car, and the driver, female, male, approximate age. But once you get those three things, then we fill out a form. We send it to the the county that we're from, and basically it goes to the state's attorney's office. They send the driver a letter, and then they have 30 days to respond to the letter. I've gone to court 7 or 8 times against
wow.
these drivers, and of course, no one ever believes that they did it.
Oh, sure.
Now, the one good thing is now that most of the school buses are outfitted with cameras in the front and the back of the bus. So in some cases, it can actually be caught on camera.
Yeah, that's how they did these news. Those ones on the news were caught on the cameras.
Right. But Brian, it's really, really dangerous. And another thing that happens all the time is you have these little signs that say state law, stop for a pedestrian walking across the crosswalk.
Yeah.
No one stops for these people. And these are kids in school zones. And we have people that are flying through these intersections that are 20 miles an hour at 45 miles an hour.
Listen, we are very busy, Duncan. We don't have time to obey the laws. We got places to be and messages to send.
Yeah. I have a saying, it goes like this. Enough about me. What do you think of me? It's all about you.
Yeah, definitely.
It's all about you.
Definitely. Duncan, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Thanks very much. Yeah, that was shocking. Did you see those videos, Cody? It was the surveillance camera on the school bus, and, you know, the arm is out, and we've all seen the stop arm that comes out of a school bus. There's flashing lights on it. The buses are hard to miss. They're big and yellow, and they've got flashing lights when they stop. It's a whole big thing. You may have seen it. And people going around it or coming toward it, and these kids, because let's be honest, when a kid, and I'm talking, you know, this could be high school, these kids look maybe high school, maybe middle school, doesn't matter. Kid gets off the bus, they figure they're just going to, everybody's going to stop. You know, they're not looking because they figure everybody's going to stop. And they were plowed over. Thankfully, again, the ones in the videos they showed, those kids were okay, so that was good news. But this textilizer thing, I think, is good. Now, a lot of people texting in, hopefully not while you're driving, please. From the 217, the cell phone problem became worse when the law was changed. Now people are trying to hide it in their lap when they use it, probably much worse than having it up to your ear. Yeah, well, see, but the texting is the thing. Now, I have, I don't know, it's the first car I've had where the Bluetooth. I sound like I'm 100. Yeah, the Bluetooth with the thing, and there's a voice in my car. It's like magical.
The speaker.
The speaker, yeah, there's a speakerphone. Sure. Is that what they call it? That sounds so antiquated.
But it's kind of accurate.
Yeah, it's the phone goes through the car radio, and I talk into the air, and the car talks to me. And that's great, but they say that's an illusion. That I think I'm safer because I'm not holding a phone. I'm not looking at a phone. I'm looking at the road. I'm, for all intents and purposes, paying attention to my driving, but they say a part of your brain is still thinking about that conversation and paying attention to what you're talking about. And how many of us have been using the speakerphone and gotten in maybe an argument or something a little heated, which takes our full attention? So suddenly, that's as distracting as texting or doing something else, because now, you know, you're having an argument with your partner, you're talking business, things get heated, and you don't pay attention anymore.
The other thing I'd really do, and I want your take on this. My sister's car that I use all the time doesn't have a radio for some reason, but it does have a Bluetooth connection.
Really?
Yeah, there's no antenna.
Okay,
so there's no radio.
Yeah.
Well, there's a radio, but there's no reception.
Right, okay.
And so I always use Pandora on my phone.
Okay.
So I'll Pandora on my phone. But if I don't like something and I want to thumbs down it, I'll pop it up and thumbs down real fast.
Oh.
But that's isn't that like switching the station on a radio receiver if you know where the button is? Because
if you don't have to look down,
yeah.
See, like, I don't have to. I know where my radio is, and I just hit the button.
Right.
And it keeps going until I hear a song I like. Actually, now, the car I have has everything on the steering wheel. Like,
yo,
I can change the stations. I can change the stations right from the steering wheel. And that's becoming more and more standard in cars because they know that people, their gaze has been averted over to the radio, even just to adjust the volume. So now if I have the volume at my thumb while I'm holding my wheel at the 10 and 2 position, which I'm supposed to,
mm-hmm.
then everything is wonderful.
I always thought it was most distracting trying to scroll through and find a radio station that works.
Yeah.
That would distract me way more than, you know, hitting next track on Pandora.
You know, and something like that, that's why seek and scan were invented. So you could just hit the scan button, and it would, oh, here's the next one. And then you can stop it. And now I've just got the little button on my steering wheel. I can just go through all my stations. Because, you know, that's the kind of, I got that kind of ride. It's fancy.
It's a sweet ride.
Oh, it's sweet.
What's you got rims?
It's a Bentley.
You got, really?
Sure, it's a, I drive a Bentley.
That is fascinating.
I've named it Bentley. That's, isn't that the same, that I've named my car Bentley? It's actually a 68 Dart, but I've named it Bentley so that I can tell people that I drive in Bentley.
Park it outside the showcase studio, just on the sidewalk.
Yeah, let people come at it with a sledgehammer. Just do it for charity. One of those things where you get to... Have you ever seen one of those where you smash a car for charity?
Never in real life, only in Street Fighter 2.
Was that in Street Fighter 2?
Minigame. Between levels, you'd fight four or five guys, and then there's a minigame, and you just beat up a car. You had to break the whole thing until it collapses within 60 seconds. It's like a bonus round.
Somebody from the 815, Brian, none of this is usable in court. I disagree. Well, it's not a law yet. But if it becomes a law, then it'll be, you know, then we'll see. I mean, again, this is a proposed law in New York. It's not on the books, but when things happen. Let's see. I was at I was next to a cop, and his window was down a bit, and he was on the phone and not driving that well, but he said he is authorized and went to driving school. Wow. So you called out the cop. That's Aaron who's sending us that text. So does it make it okay, and do cops have, let's see. Cops have the right to talk, text and talk while driving? I'm just asking. He was driving like we all see, like he was drunk. Huh. I don't know. I don't know if the police have a different rule or not. All right, let's do this. Then there's more. 720 WGN. Played that just to give everybody a headache. That was horrifying. It's Brian Noonan on 720 WGN. Karen Conti will be here after 8 o'clock. She'll be answering your legal questions, so start formulating them now at 312-981-7200. If you've taken your child to college for the first time, it can be a very emotional experience. A friend of mine just took her third child to college. It was still emotional, even having done it before. It's always emotional when you take your kids there. And we know in this society, there are some parents who are a little more involved in their child's lives than others. You can use the term helicopter parent, Velcro parent, whatever it is you want to say. There's some parents who just can't let go. And it's, I have to share this, but not until I tell you that we may not be the most clingy. I saw this and it cracked me up. Chinese parents sleep in, quote, tents of love, end quote, outside their college kids' dorms to make the goodbyes easier. What if your parents had set up a tent outside the dorm at Drake when they went to drop you off, Cody? How would that have made you? Would you have enjoyed that?
Not so much.
Mom and dad golf camping in the dorm hallway?
They have a life.
Well, sure, they must. That's why they just dropped you off and said, see ya.
Yeah.
Wouldn't want to be ya. Many colleges are welcoming not only the students as the new year starts in China, but their parents too. Universities across China are setting up tents and makeshift accommodations for parents to stay overnight while they drop off their children at the start of the semester. Schools are debating whether this practice is undermining young people's ability to be independent, but it has become increasingly common. I will weigh in. Yes. I believe it is undermining young people's attempts to become independent. Now, granted, there are some cultural differences in China. In China, most families only have one child, thanks to a government policy dating back to 1979. So parents find saying goodbye to their only offspring especially tough. I only have one child. It had nothing to do with the government. So it was difficult to let our child go. But I was not going to sleep outside her dorm to make it easier. We had to travel to where she went to school, so we stayed overnight, but we were out. It was New Orleans. I was going out. But anyway, so the practice of setting up so-called tents of love for parents to sleep in during the separation first started in Tianjin University 4 years ago. Other schools have followed suit. One university set up 28 tents during the move-in period between August 28th and 29th. Parents could stay in them free of charge. The two-person ones are for couples, said the Student Affairs Division president. Some parents even shared tents with complete strangers. That is weird. Imagine dropping your kid off at college, not being able to say goodbye, so you're willing to sleep in a tent in the gym, and then you share that tent with somebody else. No thanks. Now, they get hot water and shower facilities in the gymnasium, which is nice. But now you're also showering in a gymnasium with everybody else. But that beats having to say goodbye to your little angel and leave them on their own at the big bad university. According to one parent, the tent is quite comfy with mats and air conditioning, though without pillows. But for the kid, one night is fine. His only child was admitted to the engineering school at the university. Now, you would think that the children would chafe at this, but again, cultural differences come into play. One woman who was interviewed for this story said she's a 22-year-old. Her name is Yvonne Wong. She's the only child in her family. Her mother escorted her to the university where she enrolled as a freshman 4 years ago. Now, as she prepares to start a master's program in Hong Kong, she wishes her parents were by her side once again. Quote, "There are too many things to carry, and I need their help. They might as well see how the university is. It's something to be proud of." End quote. All right. Now, I know that's China. And I know we've taken that to the extreme. But it's happening here all the time. And again, I'm not one of these guys. I felt bad when my daughter went to college for a little bit. I cried. I'm not going to lie. We were leaving her alone for the first time. Did I know for a fact that she'd be able to navigate her way through a strange city and a new thing? I figured she would, but parents always have those doubts. But it's getting crazier and crazier with what parents are doing. I mentioned earlier this parents' Facebook group for the school my daughter goes to, and it's been very helpful to us in the past, and helpful to a lot of parents, because you ask questions and people whose kids have been there for a few years, they have the answers. You get the inside scoop. Whether it's hotels, whether it's insurance, whether it's, hey, my kid's having a birthday, I want to order something. When they're a freshman, you don't know where to order from. Parents have suggestions. It's great. Where do we go to eat? All this. So yesterday, my wife goes, "Oh, my God, you got to read this. You've got to." And I was like, reading? That's for saps. Can you read it to me? Because I'm lazy. So I read it. A mom had posted, "Does anyone have any suggestions for a cleaning woman to come in to clean my daughter's bathroom in the dorm? Because she is in a suite, she shares the room with three other girls, and they're responsible for cleaning their bathroom. But they're so busy, I want to get them a cleaning lady." At this point, I threw my wife's phone against the wall, which was probably a bad choice, but I was so enraged I couldn't believe someone actually had the gall to post this. Thankfully, then, I got my phone, because I'm not dumb enough to destroy my own phone. And I read some of the responses. And thankfully, there were parents who were as bemused and outraged as I was. Because they were like, "Yeah, here's a suggestion for a cleaning lady to clean your daughter's bathroom. Your daughter. She's an adult. Have her clean her own bathroom." Then somebody said, "It's only been a week. How dirty could the bathroom be?" And somebody else, another parent, said, "What are they doing that they can't clean their bathroom?" And the mother got very indignant from the East Coast. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. Maybe. Let's just say maybe. She's indignant. "I can't believe how rude and obnoxious you people are." And then she added some profanities, which I found a little dicey.
Really?
Yes, on the parents group, she threw some profanities in there.
Was anyone profanitying at her?
No.
Wow.
They were just being sarcastic and realistic. And I thought, this is just because I've seen this group. And this group is full of people who obviously their children, while very smart, are not being well prepared to be independent adults, I don't believe. A post today, for example, "Has anyone else's children complained about the cafeteria? They say it's so crowded they have to wait in line and that they have trouble finding a seat." I was like, well, it's a university dining hall. They're usually pretty crowded and you usually have to wait in line if you go at certain times. Then once you're there for more than a week, you kind of get the system down and you go, well, if I go at 5:30, it's going to be packed. If I go at 5:15 or 6, probably not so much. Just like if you're driving here as a grown adult, you say, well, if I can get on the road before 3:30 it's probably going to be better than if I wait till 5:30.
Sounds like a lot of thinking is involved.
Well, you're correct. A lot of thinking is involved, a lot of decision-making, a lot of doing things for yourself. Like, I don't know, I was in a suite-style dorm at Southern. So it's two rooms. You know what a suite is. Toilet and a shower is shared, sink in each room, bedrooms. We were responsible for cleaning our own. It might not have gotten cleaned that often, but it was okay. My daughter, that was the last 2 years, that was her dorm setup, was a suite-style room, and they were responsible for it. Now, I don't know if she cleaned it other times than when we visited, but when we visited, the bathroom was always clean. And really, I don't care. As long as it was clean if I needed to use it, she could. The four of them could live in squalor the rest of the year. It's up to them. They're adults. If you can't let your kid go enough to clean their own bathroom, what are you doing? And then another one posted today, and this, again, I understand being concerned about your child. I do. I'm always concerned about my child. But I also know at 18, 19, the post today, does anyone know if there's anywhere near campus where a kid could go and get groceries? Or, you know, toilet paper or paper towel or, you know, my son said it's food barren in New Orleans. And I'm like, I see grocery stores all the time. It's not food barren. Plus, I'm not a student there, but I've read the stuff. They have shuttles that'll take you to Walmart. They have shuttles that'll take you to the mall. They have shuttles that'll take you, like, to the grocery stores and stuff. You just have to make an effort or make friends with somebody who has a car and go, hey, man, can you drive me over to the Winn-Dixie? Which is, they have Winn-Dixie and Piggly Wiggly down there.
I did get, when I worked for the Drake admissions office, I'd get a lot of questions about the public transit system in Des Moines. And I think it came from a lot of people that have lived in the city for a very long time and are so used to the city, they're used to that being a critical part of the infrastructure.
Right.
Because I would, you know, I'm from Rockford. Right. I didn't really experience the CTA till I moved here. So when they asked me at Drake, I'm like, no, there's not really a lot of public transit. So, but it was always a concern, but there was always, so I can see that sometimes with parents, just, it's a different mindset, you know.
Well, sure.
New Orleans versus a city.
Right, but there's, New Orleans is a city. It has public transportation. There's right outside of campus is the cable car.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not saying.
And there's buses.
I'm not saying this person's right. And also, doesn't this person's son have Google or Yelp or
right.
a thousand other apps that everyone under 30 uses?
And if you're in the dorm, they give you toilet paper, I think. I can't remember if we bought toilet paper for my daughter or not. I think we might have. But anyway, you could buy some. Worst comes to worse. There's a little store near the cafeteria.
Wait, worst comes to worst, Amazon.
Sure.
I have everything shipped to me. I just got an Amazon pantry box with toilet paper, paper towels.
Really?
Bleach. Yeah.
But you don't go to the store?
I buy almost all of my household products on Amazon.
Now, does your mommy do that for you, or do you do that by yourself?
Shockingly, my mommy and daddy do not order my Amazon items for me.
Is that right?
And for the record, I think that this whole helicopter parenting thing is crazy. I'm sure the texters who heard me earlier probably would assume that I'm on the helicopter parent side. But no, I actually agree with you, Brian. This is pretty crazy.
No, I don't know. You had a very, what was your, when are they going to adult?
Learn how to adult.
Yes, when do you learn how to adult? Because at some point you have to learn how to adult. Which is something I've been pushing my daughter since she left for school. You got to learn how to adult. You make those decisions. As a parent, do you worry? Sure. Are you concerned? Yes. Will you give advice if it's asked for? I would hope so. But at some point, you got to start sinking and swimming by yourself. And when it comes, exactly like you said, you know every kid on every college campus has every piece of technology they could ever hope for. If not, it's available in the library. And every college has a library. So you could find out. Yeah, all you'd have to do is go, nearest grocery store, and it would pop up. And right now I can think of like three that aren't too far. But I could also take the bus. Just like people who live in a city. I could take the bus and I could get my bags. I could go out. Or I could do something else. But the cleaning lady one was the worst. I would love to talk to people who work at a college. and find out the most outrageous helicopter parent moments. I know there's always been reports of parents who call the professors to argue for their kids that they should have had a better grade. There's got to be insane stories. And I would imagine those insane stories happen in high schools as well. But just when you get high school, I can still see parents being a little more involved, you know. But once you send your kid to college, you have to let them do stuff on their own. I would never there were some times in freshman year where there were some things going on that I was getting pretty frustrated. And there was a part of me that said, you know what, we should just call down there and get this straightened out. And I went, no, that's stupid. I'm not going to call down. When I was in college, if my parents had called to try to get something straightened out, I would have been mortified. I would have transferred. I would have joined the French Foreign Legion. I would have left the country. Something. I would have gone in a hole. All right, speaking of going in a hole, we have to go in this the business hole where we love to dig around for our friends who sponsor the program. So let's do this, and then there's more. If you have a thought on this, 312-981-7200. Have you ever tried to set up a cleaning woman for your kid's dorm? And she used the term cleaning woman for your kid's dorm. 312-981-7200 if you want to weigh in on this helicopter parenting stuff. It's driving me nuts on WGN. Talking about helicopter parenting gone awry. Told you about the Chinese parents who were setting up tents of love, the universities over there, knowing that the parents just cannot break away from their little angels, so they are allowing them to sleep in tents in the gym to facilitate their exiting, their parting. And then I was telling you about some of the things that's going on here. 312-981-7... Wow, something happened there. Post-tropical something. That's all right. Everything all right, Laura? You okay?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Right, that's okay. You know, we got this all scripted out. Right, Cody? If we're thrown off the script, things get whacked. I'm teasing.
It won't happen again, I promise.
No, that's fine. Everybody has technical glitches in this field. Pam is in Brookfield. Hi, Pam.
Yeah, hi. I just came in the door, tuned you guys in, and I couldn't help remembering several years ago a good friend of mine said, Pam, your whole job as a parent is to work yourself out of a job. Now, mind you, she's got 6 kids. I only had 2, okay?
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking, how do you do it? You know, and it's tough, but true. That's our whole job, is to work ourselves out of a job.
Yeah, and you never fully retire from that job, but you cut your hours back, so to speak.
My mother said to me when your brother was little, he was 5 years old, was, Mom, wipe me, do this. She wanted to she said, I realized I was disabling the child.
Yes.
Okay, really?
That's just it.
I get that. I do. So God bless you. Thank you.
Thanks,
Pam.
Your show. I appreciate it. Bye-bye. I just saw this. My cousin posted this, and my wife has fact-checked it, I think, because she said it's true. Talking about the kid who didn't know where the grocery store was. So his parents, because he told his mother that it was food barren in New Orleans. New Orleans is probably the least food barren city in America. There's food everywhere you turn there. There's grocery stores. There's all sorts of things. But Amazon Prime is free for college students or anyone with a .edu email address. So there you go. You can get your stuff in. You can get your stuff in 2 days. You can get all your toilet paper, everything you need. You know, that would be very nice. We got a text from Margaret who listens to us all the time. How about what do the kids do when mom goes off to college like me? Yeah, Margaret has enrolled down at Southern Illinois, so she's in Carbondale. Very good. From the 630, I was the cleaning woman when my son moved out of his college apartment. We ruined a vacuum, and my back hasn't felt the same since, but he got his deposit back. Yeah, see, that's the other thing. You go down and, that's the same thing. Because he was counting on you to come in, and you, 6-year-old texter, to go down and clean that, where, you know, when you graduate from college, like 21, usually 21, 22, whatever, you're old enough to clean your own place, you and your roommates, and my daughter now is going to be, when she goes back to college next semester, from Spain when she goes back to New Orleans. And then senior year, she'll be living in a house. And if it comes to the point where we're going down at graduation to move her out and she needs a little help moving stuff around or clearing out furniture and stuff, I'll do that. But I'm not going to scrub her toilet or dust her apartment. She's old enough to do that. I have a house that I dust and clean toilets. I don't need to do that in somebody else's house. And I also, you know, she needs to realize if you want your money back, then this is what you have to do. Because you've moved out of apartments, Cody. I've moved out of apartments. You got to clean them. That's how you get your deposit back. And if not, well, then you're out of luck. Out of luck. Who knows a cleaning lady to clean my dorm?
Also, there's security in a lot of dorms, so the cleaning lady would have to be cleared somehow.
Well, and also, the school is not going to allow freelance cleaning services to come in willy-nilly.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, it's not. People are just, you know, they all want their kids to have cars down there, too, but then they want to know about transportation services that will, like trucks, that will haul the cars back and forth. Like, if your kid's taking a car to school, drive it himself. Well, that's a long way from New York or New Jersey down to Louisiana.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
This is a thing.
And it amazes me. And it's parents from the East Coast and parents from the West Coast who are saying, oh, my child is bringing a car to school. Does anybody know of a transit service? And are there other kids who want to help load the truck? And I saw a post. There were a group of parents from somewhere. It was New York or New Jersey. And they had gotten enough parents to load, whose kids were having cars at school but could not, I guess, drive them down there to load up a truck and have them hauled down to New Orleans.
They could drive them down there. That just
maybe
wasn't...
No, maybe they couldn't. Maybe they're scared to drive in a different state. Maybe their mommies and daddies don't let them drive outside of their neighborhood.
That's...
You know, when I was a kid, when I was a kid, I had to ask permission to cross the street when I was like four. Maybe... We just extrapolate that to now 19-year-olds who have to ask to cross county lines, state lines, time zones. And I'm sure they'll all be fine. They're the kind of people who don't think you have to go to work after a holiday and you'd still get paid for it. That's what we're raising.
You're right, and I hate myself a little because of that. You are right. But I have different reasons. That's true.
I don't think you were coddled to the point where you are not able to take care of yourself.
I was not.
I believe you are able to take... You are a fully functioning adult. You are able to take care of yourself.
Thank you.
Whereas I weep for some of these... They're not even children anymore. When do you stop being a child? When, you know, if you're 19, you're not a child, right?
You shouldn't be.
You shouldn't be. Pay a student to clean the toilet. That's a good idea.
But
where you get the money? Where you get the money to pay it? To pay another student to clean your toilet? And what kind of weird hierarchy are you creating there, where you're the student who sits in your room and pays somebody else to come in and clean your toilet because you're too good or too busy to clean your toilet?
Too quote-unquote busy.
I know. Studying is tough, and college is hard. But it's not so hard that you can't take 15 minutes. Because these bathrooms are not, they're not like master suites in some McMansion with sunken tubs and, you know, beautiful marble counters. And it's a tiny little room with a shower stall and a toilet. It's like a prison bathroom. It shouldn't take you, if you cleaned it once a week, you got four kids in a suite. Each do once a week, so once a month you have to clean the bathroom. It shouldn't take you more than 15 minutes. Karen Conti will be in here. You know who cleans her toilets? Her. She cleans them. That's right, because Karen works hard for her money. She is answering your legal questions, 312-981-7200. So get your calls in now to get your legal questions answered. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. The news is sponsored by TimeshareExitTeam.com. 8 o'clock, Laura Vaughn. Sunday. Saturday night after the 8 o'clock news. You know what that means. Karen Conti comes in and joins me, Brian Noonan, on 720 WGN. Karen answers all of your legal questions at 312-981-7200. They're already starting to roll in. You're listening. We're glad. So send those questions in. And we're also going to have a little Labor Day quiz that Karen has put together in honor of Labor Day and labor laws. Hello. Welcome back.
Hello. How are you?
I am well. How was your trip?
My trip was great. Jerry and I went to Toronto, which is a wonderful city.
Yes.
It's like the
twins. It's in Canada, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. In that big country above us that no one pays attention to for the most part.
Unless you need syrup or a Mountie.
That's right. Exactly. Or you're looking for a moose. But no, it's a lovely city. It's very much like Chicago, but it's even more racially diverse and a really cool place.
Very nice. And you went to the falls.
I saw
some pictures.
That's right. Took a picture of your new souvenir mug with Brian and
you.
Niagara Falls on it. And
thank you for getting one with my name so nobody else can use it.
That's right.
I'm going to be like, this is my mug and you can't touch it.
If we see lipstick on it, we know it's yours.
That's right. Exactly. So it was good? You had a nice time?
Yeah.
It's always good to get away. You were only going, you know, just for a weekend, right?
Yeah.
Get away for a few days?
Good about a quick trip like that is, you know, you're on the plane for such a short period of time, which nowadays is just a big deal. And you lose a couple days of work and you're on there on the weekend and you're back at work and it's good.
Very
nice.
No harm.
No one even knew I was gone.
Well, we missed you because people were calling me for legal advice.
Oh, that's a problem.
So they'll probably be calling you for bail advice.
And the WGN lawyers will probably be calling you, too.
I didn't really dish out. No, what am I? That clerk down it who was... What did you think of that case with a judge? This woman was running for judge. She works for the courts anyway. It looks like she was going to be a judge in November because she's running unopposed, but another judge let her pretend to be a judge.
I don't understand. I hear these stories all the time. There was another one in the news the last couple of weeks where a guy was pretending to be a lawyer. Yeah. He's at 26 in California, and he's trying cases, and he's giving advice, and he's putting money in his pocket. And at some point, they're like, are you? And no. But this happens all the time.
Really?
This is not, you know, people pretend to be other things all the time, and it's just really a strange thing.
Wow. But for a sitting judge to have that much of a lapse of judgment to
say...
Well, you're going to be a judge pretty soon, and so the woman who pretended to be a judge, she faces some serious consequences, right?
It might not just she might not be a judge. She could lose her license as a lawyer for doing that.
Ugh.
Because that, I mean, for all the reasons that you can imagine, it's wrong.
Well, yeah, now they have to reload. There were only a couple cases. I mean, if you could say only a couple cases, but at least there were only a couple, so they have to retry those.
Absolutely.
To find out. And what does that mean for those people? I mean, you've gone through this once with a fake judge. Now, if you're defending these people, how do you approach that?
Well, you're going to have to try it all over again or deal with it all from a new standpoint. I mean, you can't ever presume that she made the right decision, even if she did make the right decision. So they'll bring another judge in there. They'll try it again. You know, maybe even the prosecutor will plea them to something or it'll settle just because no one wants to deal with this kind of issue.
It's
weird.
It makes me crazy.
I guess I have to say one final thing is, I've said this before, lawyers are held to different standards. Judges are held to an even higher standard. And the idea that there is a gray area, there's no gray area here. You know,
you can't
none
pretend
at all.
To be a judge.
I mean, even this judge, for instance, who let the kid out, the rapist from Stanford, who this kid just got out this week. You know, I hear a lot of this stuff, and I am so against what this judge did. But my guess is, just knowing that in that state, perhaps he had a range of sentences that he could do, and he was probably within his right to do it. Was that the right sentence? I don't think anyone agrees that it was, but he probably had the authority to do it. So there was gray area there.
Yeah.
Whereas opposed to, you know, faking that you're a judge, that's wrong.
Well, and then there's this other, another case very similar to that where the guy, you know, the judge said, well, we don't want the sentence to interfere with his college life, so we're going to give him just, you know, a very light sentence. I don't know. It's at some point, that's why, you know, I've joked about this for years. When it comes to elections, you see the pages of judges, and it's like, oh, an Irish name, all right, Men are to a woman's name, to a Latino name. You know, we don't know
Nobody
who's running
knows.
For judges.
Even lawyers don't know. So it is, but it is important to educate yourself and look at that Tribune article that tells you, I mean, all these different organizations have vetted these people. And, you know, the bottom line is that, you know, being a judge, most judges do a good job. So mm-hmm. when you see this kind of thing, I think people get very upset with the whole system, saying, we've got to get rid of the whole system. You know, it's really just a bad couple of cases, or, and not even going to say a bad judge. Maybe the judge was insensitive that day. I don't know. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. But, you know, most judges do a really good job, and they strain to do justice. They worry about what their decision is, as they should.
Yeah. Sometimes doesn't seem right to the rest of people. We have another case that doesn't seem right that I want to get to, but people have been calling. So let's take a call, and then don't forget, after 7:30 we're going to play Karen's Labor Day Law Quiz. We'll do that, like I said, after 7:30. But Dee has been hanging on. She's in Roselle. Hi, Dee. Welcome to WGN.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
I'm well, thanks.
Good. Thank you.
What's your question for Karen?
Well, it's kind of a unique situation. Some years ago, I bought my sister a car. She drove it. She stopped driving. The car sat in the driveway. My car was running. Everything was okay. My car has failed. My sister has had a stroke and is in a nursing home right now. She still didn't want me to drive the car up until about a month, 6 weeks ago. I don't know if what the legalities are about her giving me the car. She hasn't signed the title over. And I don't know whether or not her mental health is where it should be.
So is it your opinion, Dee, that your sister may not have the mental capacity to make a decision about whether you can drive it or whether she wants to give it to you? Is that what you're saying?
I think that she can. I think she can.
Okay. Is there somebody that's going to fight with you about this? Do you have does she have other heirs or other people who are going to look at this if you start driving the car?
No, but there's some, I just don't want to, she's got some children, she's got three children, and they know, they said, take the car, we don't need it, we don't want it. But I'm just kind of uncertain about which way I should go and how I get the title turned over to me.
Well, I think it's a touchy situation, because if she's not in her right mind to give it to you, she doesn't have the donative intent. Those are the words we use, which means that you know what you have, and you know who you're giving it to, and you know why you're giving it to that person. And that's hard to judge for anybody, and that could be a matter of opinion. A doctor could say one thing, somebody could say something else. But if she has that donative intent and she gives you the car, then there's no problem with that.
What did you call
it? It's called donative intent. You know, it's just big words for meaning. Do you know what you're doing? Do you know what you have? Do you know who you're giving it to? And is this your intention? And is this your, is this what you want to do? But again, you know, this is precarious, because I don't know how bad off she really, really is. And let's just say that she signs it over to you, and the family decides, well, you used your influence. She wasn't in her right mind. She never should have done this. You know, you could be into some trouble for that. Not criminal trouble, but they could say that she didn't really mean to give it to you.
I'm not even sure that she's able to sign her name right now at this point in time.
Yeah, and so the problem is, does she have a will and a trust? Is that all set up?
No.
Okay, that's a problem too.
Yeah.
So the kids would then probably be entitled to the car. I guess the safe thing would be is to get in writing that the children want you to have it. You know, again, that's not quite the right way to do it, because you would probably have to wait till she passes, and then they would have to gift it to you. But I mean, if they want to give it to you now and have it work that way, there's going to be problems with signing the title over, because who can sign on her behalf? It's a little murky here.
That's the problem.
That's the problem. So, I can give you a name of a lawyer. I don't know if it's worth it to spend money on a lawyer for this situation.
The car is old.
Okay.
The car is not, but it's got almost no mileage on it.
Okay.
And for me, just to go puddle jumping to Walmart or to church or something like that, it would be fine. I'm not young, but I'm not old either.
Well, and I think, Dee, my last thought to you is that, I you know, if you're using it, it's different than signing the title over. So,
but
I just
it's got to be insured.
Yeah, it does,
Gary.
Have to be insured. That's and, correct. That's correct.
And you have to have your plates in your vehicle. I
so
can't
none of
have
that
it
is
in her name.
Yep. Mm. Yep. If you want to email me, I can see if I can give you somebody who might be able to work something out here. I just think that this is just kind of a sticky situation because there is no will, no trust, no direction.
And what's that email address?
You can email me at kconti, K-C-O-N-T-I, at kcontilaw.com.
All right, good luck, Dee. Hope it works out for you. Yeah, that seems... It's one of those, usually they're a little more clear-cut than this.
Yeah, and the correct legal way to do it would be a lot of legal work and a lot of machinations here.
Yeah.
If the kids say, take the car, is that the exact right thing? No, but that probably keeps you safe.
Yeah, so all you got to do is talk to your nieces and nephews
right.
and see what's going on, because I would imagine maybe they all have cars. They just, you know.
Yeah, and
if
the
they
problem,
know you
the problem
gave
is
going to
be,
and,
you know, signing over the title. Who signs
right.
over the title? She's not deceased yet. She doesn't have a power of attorney for
oh,
business
right.
purposes. So who's going to sign that title over? That's
Now,
that's
would that
problem.
Be a... Because there's power of attorney for
healthcare?
Different powers of attorney,
right.
correct?
Right.
Healthcare?
There's two different kinds. You know, one is for healthcare, and that's when you, you know, do you unplug the ventilator or that kind of thing. And the other one, and who makes decisions when it comes to medical. And then there's the financial one, which is, you know, who can conduct your business if you're
okay.
not able to do that. And that is like signing bank accounts, paying bills, and those types of things.
Yeah. Well, good luck.
Everyone should have those two things.
Yeah.
You can go online and get those forms and fill them out.
Oh, really? That's it. So that's easier than getting...
Well, it's not the best way to do it because you really should have a lawyer explain
yeah.
it to you and have it make sure that you follow the rules and you have it witnessed exactly as they tell you to do it. But, yes, you can go online and get those two forms.
And again, as you always say, and it wasn't last month National Will Month.
I think that's right.
Everybody needs a will and a trust.
Yeah, you do.
And it doesn't cost that much to get it done professionally, and then you're all set.
That's right.
All right. Let's take a quick break. And then there's a case from Colorado that you sent me that has made me a little upset. And I'm sure it will make other people upset. And maybe you can calm us, or maybe you can incite us to more anger. We'll see. Karen Conti's here. She's answering your legal questions. 312-981-7200. That's how you get your questions in. More with Karen and with you on the other side at 720 WGN. Baseball fans, the Crosstown Showdown may be over, but who are the greatest Chicago baseball players of all time? Visit chicagotribune.com/greatest and vote for Chicago's Baseball All-Stars, presented by Wintrust. Brian Noonan, Karen Conti, 720 WGN. Karen is here as she is every Sunday, unless she's in a foreign land. And then she answers your legal questions at 312-981-7200. Let's go to George, and then we'll get into this case from Colorado. George is in McHenry. Hi, George. You're on WGN.
Hey, how are you all doing today?
We are good, well, George. Thanks.
All right, so I have a friend. This is not for me. This is I really do have a friend who has this issue.
How many times have you heard that, Karen?
A lot.
No, I'm serious. I know what I would do in this situation, but she needs to hear it from somebody that's more qualified than me. She is a warrior. She doesn't want to inconvenience anybody ever, and it really ticks me off because she was in an accident involving a carnival ride at a state fair. It failed, and the carnival ride flipped over, and her and like four other people got thrown out of it, and... It was a little over a year ago, and I want to know, is there like a statute of limitations for suing them? Because she doesn't want any legal problems, but she still has a neck and a back that is strained and, I mean, still hurting
sure.
a lot. I mean, she wakes up in pain every single day because of this, and I don't know why she hasn't pursued anything. She doesn't think anything will come of it. But
this is Illinois, right? George, this is Illinois.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Clearly, it's a 2-year statute of limitations from the date of the accident. This is a negligence case. These cases are really pretty simple in that you don't have to prove much. When a carnival ride malfunctions, you don't have to prove really much of anything because a carnival ride is supposed to take you on a ride and not dump you on the ground. This is a clear-cut winner. And so the question is, how much is she entitled to? And that would depend on how severe her damages are and ongoing pain and suffering, what is the permanency. And a good personal injury lawyer will just take the case, make sure you have the medical attention you need, and then try to settle the case. And I think that, you know, she should pursue that, especially if she's got some issues. You can. I've got a lot of my who I would refer you to would depend upon what county it's in and mm-hmm. and I got a couple lawyers who have done these kinds of cases before. So why don't you email me? I can shoot you some quick references, referrals to you, and you can have your friend do that.
That would be amazing because she's her medical bill, she paid out of pocket like $15,000 worth.
Yeah. And, what is her? I'm just concerned. What is she worried about, George? What is she concerned about?
She just doesn't think that. She's entitled to really anything for some reason. She always worries that she's in the way of everything. If she gets into a car accident, she would think it was her fault, even if someone hit her.
Oh, okay. All right. Nice. And, you know, I'm not saying you should be litigious in life. I really am not one of those people. And a lot of people don't want to bother. And I would say if it was like one trip to that doctor's office and you're fine. But this is something that's significant. And you know what? What happens if she's got problems down the line? We just don't know. And this is a clear-cut case of negligence. So, you know, they have insurance for this. And I always say, if someone messes up and you're injured as a result of it, the person who messes up should pay for it. Right. I mean, I feel the same way. If I got in a car accident and I screwed up, I've got insurance for that.
Exactly.
I did something wrong. It should pay. So,
what's that email address?
So, yeah, email me, George, at kconti, K-C-O-N-T-I, at kcontilaw.com.
KCountyLaw.com. That's awesome. And it was in the paper, too. I mean, she was even interviewed, and she blew off every lawyer that called her for a month. I'm like, you are so – I don't understand.
I don't like the lawyers calling her up. That seems a little sleazy. Yeah. But I will get you the best lawyer for your friend, and if she wants to pursue it, I hope she does okay with that.
Yeah. Good luck, George. Tell her to definitely email Karen, KCountyLaw.com. So it's 2 years from the date of the accident.
Yes.
So, and that's just filed. That doesn't mean it has to go through court and be settled. Just has
filing,
to be filed.
Yeah. And there's no exceptions to it. It's a very serious rule, like to the day.
So if it only happened a year ago, she's still got plenty of time to decide and find an attorney. And
that's the same with a lot of cases, Brian, like car accidents, negligence, anything that's a negligence case. Malpractice is also 2 years from the date of the incident or the date that you discovered it. There's some exceptions to that rule, but you can always be safe to say it's within 2 years.
And when you say this is a surefire winner, what do people look at? What do companies look at? What do courts look at to try to determine what a personal injury case will be worth? Because you see commercials, I could win hundreds of thousands of dollars, and I'm always looking to get hurt for hundreds of thousands of dollars.
It takes a personal injury lawyer to tell you how you value a case. You look at cases that have been settled in the past. You look at cases that have been tried to verdict in the past. You look at what the damages are. If she's got $15,000 of out-of-pocket, what's more concerning to me is does she have any permanent injury? Because that permanent injury could then result in other operations that she needs or other medical attention. You look at her pain and suffering. Did she lose work? We put that on the bill.
Okay.
So you put all that stuff together, and then you factor in the idea that the attorney is probably going to take a third of that. So you kind of want to get that person compensated.
I was
going to
say, do you kind of roll that in?
You kind of roll that in, and you want to make sure that person is fully compensated, get something for the pain and suffering, which is intangible. You can't really put a finger on that, and permanency, if there's disfigurement, all of those things kind of have a value to them. But again, it's more of an art, not a science, in valuing a case.
All right. Heather has a very unusual question, very interesting question. She's in Chicago. Heather, you're on WGN.
Yes, I would like to know, my ex, I'm in a messy divorce, and he's a programmer, and he has posted 26 links of my name and DCFS. I want to know what rights I have, because I've gone to the cops, they've done nothing. I went to the FBI, they've done nothing.
So
I'm tired of feeling like I have no rights.
Heather, I'm sorry, you have to explain. He posted links to what?
Yes, external links. Google. If you were to Google my name and DCFS, you would find 26 links.
Saying
it's
what?
That my name is involved. And DCFS is involved.
Oh, okay. So he's posting things that say you're having trouble with DCFS with your kids.
Yes.
And I take it you haven't had any issues with your kids, correct?
Actually, he called DCFS on me, and now I'm cleared.
Okay. Well,
but he falsely alleged this.
The first thing I would do is I would go to your judge And I would tell the judge exactly what he did. Judges really don't care about bad conduct between parties, but if it's going to affect your children and people are going to know about that and it's going to involve the DCFS falsely, I think the judge is going to be very concerned with this behavior. And I think that, you know, I don't know if it should be a motion to stop him from doing this or a motion just to bring it to the court's attention so that it won't happen again. Now, clearly, I mean, you might be able to sue him for some sort of defamation if it's false. I'd have to look at the nature of it, but I mean, at this point, in the middle of a messy divorce, the last thing you want to do is have more lawsuits. But my best advice to you is bring it to the judge's attention. He's not going to like that at all.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you very much.
All right. Good luck, Heather. It's terrible what kind of damage people can do on the internet. I mean, it's one thing to say bad things and false things, but now when you say it, it's there forever.
Well, and that's just it. People can post whatever they want.
That's right.
We'll talk to you off the air.
It's just really
we've got
upsetting,
just
sure.
a couple minutes
sure.
For Jason. Jason, can you get your question quickly?
Yeah, I have a question about diminished value for a car accident.
Okay.
I have a brand new car. I didn't even make the first payment. I was in an accident. Oh. It wasn't my fault. And I turned in some estimates to the insurance to show that the value is diminished. And then they're claiming that it doesn't matter that I was in that accident, that it's not going to affect the value. And I'm just, am I able to file a small claims case against an insurance company like that?
So you're in a car accident and there was damage to your car and they're saying that it didn't diminish the value of the car?
Yeah, they did fix it, but I was trying to get the diminished value for it too.
I see. And what do you base that on? What do you base the diminished value on? How do you assess that?
Well, I took it to a couple of dealers. I asked if I were to trade it in right now. I took it to one. I didn't tell them that was an accident. They gave me a price, and then I went to another one, told them what was wrong, and it was like almost a $4,000 difference.
Well, I don't really know exactly how insurance companies do this, but I would put that in writing, have them put that in writing, to take both of those and send it to the insurance company and say, clearly, this does diminish it. I don't know about how you can check if cars have been in accidents, but I think you can.
Oh, there are
so
sites that do
that. So if you can and someone really does their research, they can find that out. And clearly, people don't want to buy a car that's been in an accident if they don't have to.
That's exactly what I told them, and I did send them that paperwork, but they said that's not the paperwork that I should send in. And I asked them, well, what was the paperwork? And they said, well, they're not going to tell me what paperwork to fill out.
You've got two sides of the insurance company. I know we have just a few minutes here, but you got the people who sold you the insurance, then you got the claims people. You're dealing with the claims people. Call the person that sold you the insurance and tell him or her your dilemma and say, listen, help me with this. What am I supposed to do?
Right.
I know you sold it to me. You're not a claims person, but you must know the answer to this question. Please help me because he's going to watch your business again next year.
Right.
Okay?
Good luck, Jason.
Yeah, good luck.
Hope that works out for you. All right. You have a little quiz. We'll tell people how they can play.
With
right
valuable,
after this.
Prizes,
valuable prizes.
Valuable prizes.
Valuable. Right after this, WGN. WGN 720 WGN. Karen Conti is here with me, and she is here to answer your legal questions. But tonight, not only is she dispensing wonderful legal advice, she is also a quizmaster. You have in honor of Labor Day. You have come up with a Labor Day quiz, correct?
Yes, I'm feeling very Chuck Woolery.
But these are not like trivia Labor Day trivia questions.
No, these are real true questions.
Okay.
And some of them might surprise you. But I want to see what people really know about their labor laws.
All right. So we have a couple of players who are set to go. First, we say hi to Steve. He is in Algonquin. Hello, Steve. Welcome to the game.
Hello, Brian. How are you?
Hi, Steve.
I am well. What do you do, Steve?
I work for a delivery service.
Ah, very nice. A big brown one?
No.
Oh, a yellow one?
No.
Is it true that FedEx and UPS are going to combine? They're going to be called FedUp? That is like the oldest joke.
Good morning.
I know. Steve already heard it. He already moaned.
Well, Steve, you are playing against Sue, who is in Elmwood Park. Hello, Sue. Welcome.
Hi, good evening.
And what do you do, Sue?
I am a freelance graphic designer looking for more full-time work.
All right.
Great.
Need
She's got logos? An advantage with her name, don't you think, in
Sue?
This quiz? Sue.
Yeah.
It's
oh,
a good
you're
name.
Right. That's
yeah.
a good name. All right, so explain the rules of your
don't
game.
Don't get cocky,
here.
Sue. All right.
Explain the rules. How, what are we doing?
Are there rules? Okay, I'm going to read a question. It's a yes or no question, okay. And we're going to have maybe have Steve answer the first one,
right.
And then I'm going to tell you the answer, and then we'll have Sue answer, and the best we'll as many as we can get. Whoever gets the most correct answers wins the very valuable prize.
We do have very valuable prizes.
Yes.
All right, so we'll start the game. Steve, you are first. Karen, take it away.
Steve, does an employer have to give you a warning before firing you?
No.
You are correct. That is correct. We are an at-will employment state, which means that you can be fired for any reason except discriminatory reasons, and there does not have to be a warning. There does not have to be really even compliance with a handbook, for that matter. So you're correct.
All right. Steve has one.
Who's keeping score?
I've got some. Are you keeping score?
Okay, yeah. Good. All right. Should we go to Sue?
Yeah.
Sue, can your employer require you to work overtime? Can your employer say you've got to work overtime this week?
No.
I'm sorry. The answer is yes.
Was that Sue or was that Cody? Sue was not happy.
Yeah, you know, people think that they don't have to work overtime, but if your employer wants you to do it, yes, the employer has to pay you time and a half if it's over 40 hours, but the employer can make you work overtime, and if you refuse to do it, you can be fired for that.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So Steve has one, Sue has
zero. Don't give up, Sue. You're still in the game.
Thank you.
Okay, Steve, you ready?
Go for it.
Okay. Is it true that employees are entitled to 1 hour of breaks during a work day? Is it true that employees are entitled to a total of 1 hour of breaks during a work day?
No.
You are correct.
Wow.
In Illinois, you are entitled to 20 minutes of a food break for a 7.5 hour work day. And you have to be able to get that in the first 5 hours of your employment.
Really?
But a lot of people think it's, you know, 15 minutes here, 15 minutes there, then a half an hour break. And that is not the case. Not the case. So you are correct, Steve. Very good.
All right.
All right. All right, Sue, I guess it's your turn.
I knew those two others, man.
I don't buy it.
We'll give you shadow points for that, okay? Okay. Does an employer have to let you take off work to attend your son's school conference?
No.
The answer is yes. Now, there's a qualification, which is if your employer has more than 50 employees. In 1992, Governor Edgar passed a law, a very little-known law, that says that you must, as an employer, give your employee 8 hours for a whole year to attend school events, you know, parent-teacher conferences and those types of things.
8 hours for the whole year?
8 hours for the whole year. So you can do, like, 2 hours on this day and 4 hours on this day. And it's interesting because I have never dealt with that law in my life, but that is on the books, which is it's a good law.
All right, Sue, you have not gotten on the board. But
yeah,
you have
know what?
Let
I
me
got
use...
these things.
All right.
All right, Steve, you're up 2-0.
All right. Let me go to this one. Are you entitled, can your employer change the terms of your employment after you have been employed for a long length of time? So can an employer change the terms of your employment after you've been employed for a long time? So can they change your job duties? Can they change your pay scale and all those types of things?
I'd say true.
Yes, your employer can do that.
Wow.
A lot of people say, oh, I can't, you know, they can't do that after I've been employed for a certain number of years. They absolutely can. They can tell you have to go work at another location. They can lower your wages. They can change your shift hours. They can do almost anything they want. And if you don't want to keep your job, you could be fired for it. All right.
Steve, you are dominating.
All right.
Sue, I don't know if you'll be able to come back, but I think the game is we still have a couple of time for a couple more questions.
Okay, I'll talk fast so we can give you time.
give Sue some more time to come back.
If you trip and fall at the workplace due to your own fault, are you entitled to benefits?
Oh.
You trip and fall at the workplace due to your own fault, are you entitled to benefits?
Oh, man.
I'm listening carefully to this one because I feel a fall in my
No, future. Because I know I'm losing to Steve. No.
Oh, Sue.
Yes.
I was trying to send mental images your way. Yes, you are. Workers' comp law says that if you are injured on the workplace, even if it's your own fault, you are entitled to workers' comp benefits. Yes. It is a kind of a no-fault situation in exchange for you. They don't really fight you on that.
Right.
But it's a lower amount of money that you're entitled to rather than like a personal injury case where you've got pain and suffering and all those types of things.
Wow.
So that is the case. And it does encourage employers to keep a safe workplace. So it doesn't keep you, you know, your shoelaces tied, but they try to keep it safe. So that gives them the incentive to keep, you know, keep employees not suing them. All right. All right, Steve, if your employer closes the office for a holiday, must he pay you? So the employer closes the office for Labor Day tomorrow, must he still pay you?
Well, we do, but I'll say no.
The answer is no.
Wow.
So your magnanimous employer gives you a day off. Doesn't have to be with pay, even if it's a holiday. All right? Sue?
Yes.
Well, we're hoping.
So you're still here?
We're hoping. No, you're a good sport. Does the FMLA, the Family Medical Leave Act, require your employer to pay you when you need to leave to work, to take care of your sick spouse? Does the FMLA pay you to leave to work to take care of your spouse?
Oh, man, I don't have a family. I'll say no. I'll
say
wrong.
No, you are correct.
Hey,
the FMLA.
Steve's on the board.
Ding, ding, ding.
The FMLA, even Steve's happy. You're
thank
good.
Thank you.
FMLA requires the employer to give you time off.
Okay.
But not paid.
They don't have to pay you.
And there have to be 50 employees. You have to have worked for a year. There's some other whistles and bells. But very good, Sue.
That horn means it's the end of our game. Steve dominated.
Oh, Steve congratulations.
Steve dominated 4-1 over Sue.
Congrats, Steve.
Now, Sue, you cannot sue us for you know, any sort of pain or suffering you come away from this trouncing.
She is going to trip and fall at her workplace tomorrow.
Right. I know she's tripping and falling.
Coming.
Then she's going to take some time off to go to a kids' conference. We do have valuable prizes. This is very exciting. For Steve, we're going to send you a MyPillow. You hear us talk about MyPillow all the time here on WGN. It is guaranteed the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. Visit MyPillow.com for more information. But, Steve, we're going to send you one of those, and you will be sleeping soundly. And, Sue, because I am magnanimous at Karen's request, and we don't want anyone to go away feeling like they've been beaten 4-1 in a Labor Day contest, we're going to send you a Lou Malnati's gift certificate.
Oh, wow.
Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations to order online. Go to loumalnati's.com.
This is like everyone gets a trophy. I don't know if this is fair. This is what we're trying to get our kids away from, right?
Yeah,
everyone gets a trophy.
Right, but
is
we're
that
not
right?
kids anymore. We've put up with a lot in our lives. If you know, now Steve gets to rest his head on a comfortable pillow, and you know, and Sue gets to eat a pizza and wonder why she doesn't know more about law.
Thank you for playing.
No,
guys.
Thank you for playing, Sue.
Have a great night.
And Steve, congratulations.
You
thank you. Hold on. And Cody will get all your information if he has not already. All right. We have some legal questions coming in. That was a very good quiz. I didn't know. I would say I would fall somewhere between Steve and Sue if I had been playing that game.
Some of those are tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet a lot of lawyers don't know the answers to some of those questions.
Well, if you don't specialize in workplace law, you might not. And we all think we know what our rights are at our job.
And we think what's fair is the law. Yeah. And that's just not the case.
When really, what's fair is nowhere near the law.
That's right.
All right, let's do this. Then we'll get some legal questions answered. Get yours in now. We have a few more minutes with Karen Conti. 312-981-7200. I'm looking right at the number, and I couldn't read them. 312-981-7200. More with Karen and you on the other side. It's WGN.
Tired of looking at worn, discolored, or pitted concrete? Let TintCrete Resurfacer come to the rescue. The TintCrete Resurfacer formula has been used commercially since 1961, and now it's available for your home. This simple and easy-to-use product provides a finish that lasts long and looks great at a fraction of the cost to replace it. And the best part, two colors are available to resemble your worn concrete or make it look new again. Available at participating Ace Hardwares or at TintCrete.com. That's TintCrete.com.
The Home Depot is covering more ground with big savings this Labor Day weekend. Right now, get Earth Grow colored mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Retain more moisture in your soil and give your yard a richer color that will last long past the holiday. Up to 12 months guaranteed. Get fewer touch-ups and more color with Labor Day savings on Earth Grow colored mulch. Now 5 bags for just $10. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing. Valid through September 11th. Limit 60 bags per customer.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can seem intense. Like breakup R&B intense.
I thought you said you loved the sweater that I got you. If you didn't, you could have told me.
Geico makes it easy. Just go to Geico.com anytime to update or check your policy without all the extra drama.
I even had a different seat.
It's O'Rewards Member Appreciation Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop in today and check out store-wide savings, plus earn double points on over 225 items. It's our way of saying thank you. If you're not already a member, sign up today during O'Rewards Member Appreciation Month. It's fast, easy, and free. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All right, let's get back to some legal questions. Karen Conti is here to answer them on WGN, 312-981-7200. That's the phone. That's the text. All right, before we played the very cool labor law game, we got a long text. It basically is saying, well, here, I'll read it. I'm not going to paraphrase. My husband is filing for divorce later this year. We have no children. We don't own property. We did text this person back and ask how long they were married. So they've been married 18 years. We have no children. We don't own property. I'm unemployed and receiving SSDI, disability insurance, with an annual amount of about $8,000. My husband is full-time employed with an annual salary of about $56,000. I think the term is maintenance or spousal support that I will receive. Can you tell me how spousal support or maintenance is calculated or determined? Is it based on a straight calculation like my husband's salary and length of marriage, or does the judge take into consideration my income, my expenses, my need, etc.?
Actually, good question. As of January 1st, 2015, we now have a statute, a law in Illinois that calculates it. There's an automatic calculation. And there's some whistles and bells, but basically what you do is you take 30% of the payor, meaning your husband, okay, of his income, and minus 20% of yours. So that comes out to be about $15,000 a year, and that would be your maintenance amount.
Okay.
So you divide that by 12. I think we come up with something like, I forgot what exactly I came up with, 1,000-something per month. The question is, how long would you be entitled to receive that? And the answer to that, again, is in that calculation. If it's 18-year marriage, the law says that in an 18-year marriage, you get 80% of those years. So,
okay.
So if you times 18 times 8, you get basically 14 years. So you would be entitled to that for 14 years.
Oh.
Now, because you're disabled, and I don't know quite the ages. I don't know everything here. Maybe the judge could give you more time than that because it looks like, you know, you're never going to be self-sufficient, and I don't know all of the nuances of that. But that's a ballpark on what you'd be entitled to. So, again, it's 30% of the payor minus 20% of the person who would receive that.
Okay.
And then you look at the chart. The chart has a number of years, and it looks to the percentage.
Ah.
And each one, you can kind of go down that and do a calculation.
Okay.
Actually, if you go online, there's some calculators that you can actually plug in the numbers, and it'll spit out the answer to
it.
Very
nice. So obviously, the longer you're married, the more years of maintenance you will receive.
Yes, and you first have to qualify. So if someone makes $80,000 and someone makes $75,000, you're not going to be entitled to maintenance if you're the $75,000 because that's almost equal.
Right.
But if there's a great disparity, and let's just say you stayed at home with children, and there's a reason that, you know, you contributed to the marriage and you're not making as much, the court will award maintenance and will use this formula.
So if there's a situation where one party is making whatever, and the other party has stayed home and is not making anything, it's still 30% of the payor, even though the payee has
zero.
No 20%.
Yes. Right,
so
exactly.
So that's the full amount.
Right.
Then.
And okay. Again, there's some whistles and bells and some exceptions and all that, but that's the basic bottom line. And again, you know, if you've got high income people, even if you're one party, I had just had a case where a party was making $500,000, the other party was making $100,000, even though there's a disparity there, the judge said, you know, on $100,000, you can live a pretty good life. So it's not a maintenance case.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Very good. Let's go to Lynn. She's in the Western suburbs. Hi, Lynn. You're on WGN. Lynn? Well, Lynn hung up. All right, well, let's go to the next text question then. This
okay.
is from the 708. I hired an agency caregiver for my mother who had broken her hip. The girl they sent was 25 and attractive. I was helping her vacuum, and one thing led to another. The girl blabbed and got fired. Now I'm apparently blacklisted from all the agencies. Is that legal?
Well, I don't know of a law that would make it illegal at all. And I suppose that, you know, they have a right to do it just because they don't want people to be harassed on the workplace. And if they don't stand up for their workers, then, you know, there's going to be a problem. No law that says that you're entitled to a caretaker and that you're not entitled to be blackballed for doing something that they consider to be inappropriate.
Well, one thing just leads to another when you're vacuuming.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you have to understand... You know what? You have to make fun of everything, Brian. Is that your job? Oh, wait a minute. That is your job.
Yeah, but I mean, doesn't that sound kind of, that sounds like the start of a Penthouse forum letter.
It does.
We were vacuuming the house and one thing led to another, and then... Let's get it on. And things got very, very cagey after that.
You have a really vivid imagination. You know, I guess I'm serious for a living, and you're not. That's where we are.
Well, I understand the seriousness of this.
No.
Now he needs to find a caregiver for his mom, and the agencies are saying, well, we're not sending anybody else.
And, you know, I assume that these girls go out, and sometimes they, you know, they might get harassed, they might get, you know, pawed and raped and all that kind of stuff. So they probably have really good rules because they want to even circulate that among all the different agencies so they have a coherent system. So I'm not going to say that this happened, you know, it was consensual.
Sure.
But let's just say that he forced himself on her. Well, we don't want that girl going back out somewhere else, you know, and having that happen.
Right,
so,
or somebody else going
out. Yeah. So, I mean, I understand that rule, and there's nothing illegal about it that I can see.
No. All right. Well, good luck finding somebody to help with your mom.
Well, and it's hard to find those kind of people. They're very hard to find. They're very underpaid, and you might have to go just through a Craigslist and get somebody who's not in an agency, which is always risky.
Yeah, it's rough. 312-981-7200. Karen is here answering your legal questions. Julie's in Chicago. Hi, Julie.
Is a waiter at a restaurant downtown, so he receives tip income, and he does not get those tips at the end of the night. Instead, they put the tips on a paycheck that they are supposed to give him every 2 weeks or paydays every 2 weeks, and when he does get a check, he gets a check that just has the net amount with no check stub, so he has no idea if he's getting all his tips and how they're taxed. Is an employer required to give you a check stub that shows, for example, you know, your deductions and all of that?
You know, I'm going to say yes. I don't have the law in front of me. I've never heard of an employer who doesn't do that, unless it's somebody who's just paying you under the table. Absolutely, because you're going to want to know is he taking out Social Security? Is he taking out federal taxes? You are absolutely entitled to that. They don't have to pay you at the end of the shift. That has already been determined. They do have to pay you, however, every pay period, which, as you said, was two weeks. So that's not inappropriate. Certainly, they need to itemize it. Is this a big company? You don't name the restaurant, but is it a big company or is it a family-owned restaurant?
It's a family-owned business, but they've been in the restaurant business for over 30 years. I actually used to work for them when I was in college, and they were kind of shady with their paychecks as well. Sometimes you go to cash the check, there was no money in the bank, and they say, oh, go cash it on Tuesday, and it just gets me because all these years later, they're still doing this.
Yeah. Well,
he doesn't want to lose his job, so he's afraid to say something. But, you know, he's supposed to still get an hourly rate, which, of course, is lower because of the tip adjustment.
Sure.
So he doesn't even know if he's, you know, how many hours he's getting paid for. If he writes down all his tips, do they include all his tips? How much are they taking out for all of this?
That's not appropriate. So I think, Julie, what he should do is to try as diplomatically as possible. I mean, we all need our jobs here. Mm-hmm. But know that if he makes that demand, knowing if that they don't know the law of anything right now, these people are violating the law and being shady, that they're not going to hesitate to fire him, you know, even though that's inappropriate and that's wrongful. But I think he needs to try to do that, tactfully, that you know, this needs to be itemized. And if not, he should file a claim with the Illinois Department of Wage, Illinois Department of Labor, probably the Wage and Claim Division. If you go online, you can actually file a claim right online. They investigate it and they will take action. I don't think you can file a claim anonymously, because I know a lot of people ask me that question. You might want to go online and see if you can do that, but I don't think you can. I think he is going to have to say his name and he's going to have to give proof of what we're talking about.
All right, good luck,
Julie. Good question, Julie.
That is it's
terrible to do that. People need their jobs and these people are.
How then do you pay your taxes as a business? How do you pay your taxes when you go, if you're not, are you deducting for taxes? Are you? You'd think, I don't know.
Yeah.
The whole thing sounds nuts. Let's get to Paul. He is in Brookfield. Hi, Paul.
Yes, sir.
What's your question for Karen?
Well, this is kind of a strange one. My wife passed away just slightly over 2 years ago. She, my daughter is adopted, and she is 17 years old, just after my wife passed away. She dropped out of school. She keeps telling me, when I'm 18, I'm leaving. I've gotten a couple of different variations on the situation, when she turns 18, I can just pitch her out the door and be done with it. I've been told otherwise, that I need to get an eviction notice and a restraining order. Need to know where that, you know, which is what and what is who.
So you would like to throw her out now?
She's 17 years old. She drove my wife and myself crazy beforehand. And she keeps saying that she's ready to leave when she turns 18. She's 17 now.
Okay.
She's just shy of 18.
Yeah.
She turns 18 in November.
Oh, well, wait till November, and then you can get her out. I mean, she's emancipated at age 18 under anyone's calculations, and you don't have to even supply her with a place to live at that point. And you may need to evict her if she won't leave. You can change the locks and do all that kind of thing. And, you know, I'm hoping that you can get her some help and get her on her feet somewhere, mm-hmm. but you have no further obligations after 18.
All right. Good luck, Paul. Hope it works out.
Yeah.
That's
really
a horrible
sad.
Situation to be in.
It is sad.
Well, again, we have run out of time. It goes very fast when you are here,
yes.
but you will come back next Sunday, correct?
I will. And I'm thinking I'm going to call in because I want a pillow and I want a pizza.
Well, listen.
Not necessarily in that order.
All right. No, you have the pizza first.
That's right.
Then you lay down. All right. We will talk to you again next week.
All
How can people get a hold of you if they didn't get a 30 to tonight?
You can call me at the office. I'm working tomorrow, so you can call
really?
Me.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
312-332-7800 or kconti at kcontilaw.com.
All right. Quite the
Happy
slave.
Happy Labor Day.
Quite the slave driver. Good for you. Keep the man, you keep your boot on the employee's necks.
That's
I like
right.
that. Always serve the law. All right. We'll see you next week. Let's do this, then we'll say goodnight. It's WGN. Thanks for listening and being part of the program. Don't forget, in just a couple minutes, we will start the web-exclusive podcast. The first portion of it will be on Facebook Live, and we will be talking about the backlash from last week's podcast when we talked about my interaction with the Moped Army. So we'll be talking a little bit about that to start off this week's podcast. Thank you again for listening. I will talk to you tomorrow afternoon when I am in for Rokon because it's a holiday. I'll talk to you at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Rick Kogan comes your way on the other side of the news. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com. This report is sponsored by Lindeman Chimney Company. A little after 9, here's Laura Vaughn.